ജയം വിശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദം ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് കി ജയം നിഥിലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്കി നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർ കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്കി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാൻ കി വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഗംഗാമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരങ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ ശ്രീപദായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാം ഉദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമന തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയ തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിവി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം വിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസം ആലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദി ഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുപേതമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാദരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനീതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുക്തമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിതാദൃദാനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി നമ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധവേദാന്തസ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ശംഖചക്രം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാ സമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ. നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ തവത്ര നേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേ ത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത്. വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രതജലാ ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപ്പലാ ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തകേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമലപ്രദ്വം സിനശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർവേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമ ഉപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. യോന്ത പ്രവിശ്യ മമ വാചമിമാം പ്രസുപ്താം സഞ്ജീവയത്യകില ശക്തിധരസ്വതാംനാം അന്യാംശ ഹസ്തചരണശ്രോണാം തുകാദീൻ പ്രാണാൻ നമോ ഭഗവതേ പുരുഷായ തുഭ്യം. ഭൂതൈർമഹദ്ബ്രീമാ പുരോ വിഭുർനിർമായ ശേദേയതമോഷു പുരുഷ ഭുങ്ക്തേ ഗുണാൻ ഷോഡശ ഷോഡശാത്മകം സോലം കൃഷിഷ്ഠ ഭഗവാൻ വജാംസി മേ. Yesterday, we were in this fifth chapter. Sri Narada Maharshi, after spoken to Vedavyasa Maharshi, later what we saw was Krishna has told Arjuna that you have to deal with Ashwatthama, and they brought him in front of Draupadi, and they had to come to an agreement between all together. Yudhishthira, Bhima, and Draupadi, Arjuna, and Krishna. So they took the final decision that Arjuna will shave up Ashwatthama and make him look ugly and get rid of him from the kingdom. That was the final decision taken. Bhima was satisfied. Draupadi was also satisfied. And Yudhishthira felt comfortable because Krishna has accepted it. And Arjuna knew this is what Krishna meant. Although Krishna said that Brahmam, he mentioned there that Brahma Bandurna Handavyam Atatai Vadharhana, two opposing things. He is a Brahma Bandhu, so he should not be killed. Brahma Bandur na handavyam. He shouldn't be killed. On the other hand, Adatai Vadharhana. Because he killed Draupadi's children, he is an Adatai and he should be killed. So those two opposing things Krishna has spoken, and Arjuna had to make the decision what he is going to do. And when Arjuna decided to do this way, Krishna was satisfied. And that is how the scene ends there. Then after that, they decide now this, they have been killed, these five children. Draupadi's children have been killed. Drushtadyumna has been killed. And for all those who were killed in the Mahabharata war, they decided to go to perform this Udaga Kriya. Udaga Kriya means that after that, or after a certain number of days. For Kshatriyas, it's about 11 days or something. Brahmanas, it is 10 days, and Vaishyas, 13 days, and Shudras, 15 days. There are certain rules on all these things based on the Smriti. So they decided to go for that, and current day, nowadays, women did not perform Udaga Kriya. Women don't perform, they only do the Pindam. Pindam and Udaga Kriya are two different ceremonies. Pindam, Lupta Udaga Kriya, it says. Lupta Pindodaga Kriya. Lupta Pindodaga Kriya. So Pindam, women do it, but Udaga Kriya, women don't do it. But in them days, women also did the Udaga Kriya. It looks like that from the Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam. There are many things which has changed from this. Is, you're talking about 5,000 years ago, all this has happened. So imagine how much changes could have happened in the society. You will see another instance in the Bhagavatam. When Vamanamurti came to see Mahabali, at that moment, Mahabali had to wash the feet of Vamanadev, putting him in the throne. So Vindhyavali, Mahabali's wife, poured the water. And that is the duty of the wife, to pour the water. And it's the duty of the husband to wash the feet. That's the system. Then. But later on, after so many thousands of years, things have changed. Nowadays, mostly men do it, washing the feet. Women just stay away from that. It has changed. This is how things are. These things are not fixed forever. It can change again, back into other way. But the thing is this, that you will see in Bhagavatam certain things spoken, which is not in current practice. Things have changed. So, like if a Mahatma comes, we must, into a house, the householder should wash the feet of the Mahatma. You can see Vamanamurti himself had come. So, Mahabali and Shukracharya, they all went out to receive him and to wash the feet. But Vindhyavali poured the water in the water pot. They have that, what you call that, vidhi. I don't know what the English name for that. There's a pot with an extension, a pipe-like thing. So they pour the water through that. So she was pouring the water, and Mahabali was rubbing Vamanamurti's feet. And Vindhyavali kept pouring the water. So it looks like that in them days, women had that duty. The wife did that, the husband washed the feet. Women poured the water. But now that system is not so prevalent. Mostly men do everything. And women keep behind, stay away from that. So it's the changes that has happened. So here, women are doing the Udaga Kriya also, apart from the Pindam. And so these changes have happened subsequently after that, right? All these kind of ajaram, anushtanam, they keep changing. It's not permanent. And it's not common all over Bharatam, Bhumi. They vary from place to place. These kind of customs, right? So, when they are performing this Udaga Kriya, it says specifically in the Bhagavatam that the women were in the front walking and men were following them. Women walked in the front and men followed them, right? So, they went to Ganga River, bathed there, and they performed the Udaga Kriya. You can imagine Draupadi's heart. It must have been going through a very hard time. She had, all her children have been killed, her brother has been killed, and all that. And Krishna spoke to everybody, to Draupadi, and to everyone who was present there. And also, Vedavyasa Maharshi also joined Krishna together. Krishna and Vedavyasa Maharshi together consoled everybody. Together they consoled everybody, and then they returned back to Hastinapur. They came back to Hastinapur. After that, they came back to Hastinapur. So this is what happened, right? And now everything is over. So Krishna decided to go back to Dwaraka. He had spent a long time there. And he handed over the responsibility to Yudhishthira to manage everything. And Yudhishthira became the emperor. And Krishna knew very well that Yudhishthira will manage well, because Krishna had complete faith in Yudhishthira. And there will be peace and satisfaction among the people. And his main purpose is over now. Krishna is coming, because this Mahabharata war was the main purpose of coming, Krishna's visit to this world. So that has been done now and done with completely. And responsibility handed over to Yudhishthira, and Krishna was happy to go back to Dwaraka, right? So when he decided to go back, he decided the date when to go back, and all arrangements were made to go back. At that time, when he was preparing and getting ready to go, Ashwatthama meanwhile decided to fire the Brahmastram again to destroy the whole Pandava race, so that not even one child remain. That race should be wiped out from this world. Ethnic cleansing he wanted to do, in the modern terminology, if you say. He wanted to completely get rid of the whole race from there. Right? So he sent that Brahmastram to kill Parikshit Maharaj, who was in the womb of Uttaradevi. And Pandava saw this coming, Brahmastram coming, and it was also directed towards them. And they stood up and decided to took the bow and arrow and everything and got ready to get ready to face this Brahmastram. And Uttara also saw this Brahmastram entering inside her womb, inside her body, right? And she started feeling it inside, in her uterus. She was experiencing it, the entry of this Brahmastram inside, and she couldn't bear the heat, what she was experiencing, and she started crying with the heat inside the body. And she started crying, and that is in the famous words in the Bhagavatam, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagatpade Nanyantwad Abhayam Pashyel Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. Prayers to Krishna. That Mahayogi addressing Krishna, right? That in what he means is that you are the personality who gives the all the benefits for yogis. When the yogis worship you, you are the one who gives them the results. Yoga Bhalam, who gives Mahayogi, right? They are dependent on you for their results of their efforts. When they engage in yoga practices, when they want the results, ultimately it has to come from Krishna. And you are that. And you are the only person who can protect us from this situation, right? Nobody else has. So he said this, and she could feel that the death is approaching her, and the child inside will die. She more or less came to this conclusion. And she says that everyone has to face death one day. Everyone is exposed to death. It's only a question of time when. Everybody is subject to death, but it's only a question of time when it should happen, right? And I'm experiencing this heat inside, and the baby in my womb should be protected somehow, because he is the only child in this whole race, Kauravas and the Pandavas. He's the only one left, and it should not, at least he should be protected, right? Because if that child die, then this whole race is finished, Kauravas and the Pandavas, right? So she said to Krishna this way, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagalpade. So here, Krishna protected the Pandavas from Brahmastram through Sudarshana Chakra. With the help of Sudarshanam, Krishna protected the Pandavas from outside. Because that's all happening outside. Parikshit is inside. And Parikshit was protected by Krishna inside Uttara. Uttara Devi is heart, there is Antaryami. Krishna is present there. So, from there, Krishna had entered into Uttara's womb. Antaryami inside Krishna, he entered into Uttara's womb from inside itself, not from outside. Pandavas were protected outside through Sudarshanam, Krishna Sudarshanam. Parikshit was protected inside by Antaryami as Uttara. Krishna is present inside. Krishna entered inside the womb from Uttara's heart, right? So, Krishna, who is inside in Uttara's heart, took that form and came inside the womb of Uttara and started moving around her, around baby, around Parikshit, right? So, that is why later on you will see Andar Behir Avasthitam, Kunti Devi says. Inside and outside he is there. Krishna is inside, Krishna is outside as well. So, therefore, it says, Antaryami is present inside, and at the same time, he is present in the whole creation everywhere, in everything, right? And he can protect us from inside as well as from outside also. Pandavas were protected outside, and Parikshit was protected inside. So, but towards Parikshit, Krishna has an unusual mercy for him. Compassion towards Parikshit. And therefore, Krishna appeared in front of Parikshit. By now, this Brahmastram has already attacked Parikshit by then. And it is that time that Krishna has got inside. And through this Vaishnava Tejas, Krishna has covered Parikshit with the Vaishnava potency. And with that Brahmastram, which was heating Parikshit, suddenly lost its heat and has become cooler, much cooler. And Parikshit felt a huge relief. He is not dead yet, but he was feeling the heat of the Brahmastram, but that heat was counteracted by the coolness of the Vaishnava Tejas, Krishna's presence, and with that the heat, effect of the heat has gone away from them. So now the child is inside, baby Parikshit inside the womb, right? Can he see all these things by opening his eyes in that state? He's inside the womb, right? So, when we say that Parikshit saw Krishna, we say in the Bhagavatam like that, right? So, we shouldn't think that he saw them with his physical eyes, right? If Krishna wants it, it doesn't take very long for him to open our Shastra Chakshusa or Jnana Chakshusa. This eye is physical thing, isn't it? The eye, what we have, we see through the senses, it is a physical thing. But Jnana Chakshusa or the Chakshusa of knowledge, Chakshusa means the eyes of knowledge, or it's also called Atmiya Chakshusa. That means that there is an eye inside us, not this physical eye. When that opens, we get to see things which we don't see with our physical eyes. You will see what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Ulkramandam siddham vavi, bunjanam va gudanyadam, vimudha nanyu pashyandi jnana chakshusha. That jnana chakshusha. Jnana chakshusha means all of us have that, but it is closed at the moment. Those eyes are closed for us. That's why we don't see anything else except what we see through our eyes. Whereas this Jnana Chakshusa or the Atmiya Chakshusa, through which you see things from the spiritual side, spiritual awakening or spiritual vision was given to him. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gave it to Arjuna when he wanted him to see the universal form. You remember in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter, that Divyam Dadamide Chakshu Pashyame Yogam Aishwaram, he says, I will give you that divine vision. Krishna says to Arjuna, Divyam Dadamide Chakshu, that Chakshusa which is Divyam, divine, That is this Jnana Chakshusa, through which Arjuna was able to see the universal form. So that Chakshusa is inside. Everybody has that. That has to open though. It is closed at the moment. When that opens, we start seeing things differently. Not like the way we see with our these eyes, current eyes, with which we see the name and form. That's all what we see with these eyes, isn't it? Only the name and form. Whereas the spiritual eye or the Jnana Chakshusa, when that opens, we see everything from the spiritual side of everything. So that is what has happened. Divyam Dadamija Chakshu. So Arjuna was able to see that in the Bhagavad Gita, in the universal form. Similarly, here, Parikshit Maharaj, eyes were open. That Divya Chakshusa was open, divine eyes, and he was able to see Krishna inside. That is how he saw Krishna. Otherwise, his senses have not come into work. Our senses, when they start working, after we were born, when we come out, after some time, senses start working. It takes a while for the senses to operate. You can see the little babies, their eyes are not fixed on anything when they are born. They don't see anything clearly. But later on, the mother start talking to the baby, and after a certain time, the mother induces the ability to see things by waving different things in front of the child, and the child gradually started seeing. These eyes will come into operation. They come into operation, these eyes. And then rest of their life, these eyes only. No other eyes open. These two eyes are open, and all the nonsense we see with them, with these two eyes, and the rest of the life is over with that. But here, what he sees, Parikshit's eyes were open, the eyes of knowledge inside, Atmiya Chakshusa. And there he saw Krishna with four-handed form, protecting him. And exactly the Mahavishnu's form, Sri Valsam, Kaustubham, four hands, and the yellow garments, and this dark bluish color of Krishna, and compassionate eyes of Krishna. And he was moving around Parikshit with a club in the hand, not allowing anyone to get closer to him. Right. So, and Krishna, Parikshit was seeing all these things inside, all, and through that Atmiya Chakshusa. And then he, after his delivery, after baby was born, that night, Parikshit Maharaj remembered all these things, what he saw inside. after showing the form, Krishna didn't go away. He stayed there till Parikshit was born. Parikshit was delivered, right? So, he gave Parikshit this long darshanam inside the womb. Krishna has given this very long darshanam for Parikshit, and he protected him, and somehow Parikshit escaped from that situation, what was done by Ashwatthama, right? So, when all these things happen, Kunti Devi is thinking that how Krishna is protecting everybody. For her, she was protected along with the children, and now with the grandchildren also, and even Parikshit. So, Kunti Devi is feeling such a gratitude to Krishna for protecting like this all the time from all kinds of dangers. Duryodhana was giving a lot of problems, and she was protected from that. Pandavas were protected, right? So, and she was thinking that I never got an opportunity to express my gratitude to him till now. Krishna, he couldn't speak to Kunti Devi, didn't feel that time had come to speak to Krishna, right? So she decided, at least now I should express my gratitude to Krishna for what he is doing for us. And in this way, and also she realized that Krishna is leaving very soon. So therefore what she did, she wasn't even sure whether she will get to see him again. Kunti Devi is quite old by now. And she wasn't very sure she will get to see Krishna again. Therefore, what she did was, she came down running and fell at Krishna's feet. Just put her hands at Krishna's feet and wanted to offer obeisances to Kundidevi. Kundidevi, Krishna could not accept that. Because Kundidevi is her father's sister. Vasudeva's sister. And father's sister is like mother from Krishna's position. If you look at the family side of it, father's sister is like mother. So Krishna pulled back without allowing Kundidevi to touch his feet. Krishna says to her, "What are you doing? You are touching my feet? I should be offering respects to you." Because mother don't offer obeisances to the children, do they? To her, their own children, mother doesn't offer. Children are supposed to offer the respects to the mother, right? So, she says to him that this is not proper, Krishna says to Kundidevi. Kundidevi says, Namasye purusham tvadyam, ishwaram prakrite param, alakshyam sarvabhudanam, andar bahiravastidam. This was the answer for that. Kundidevi is saying to Krishna, I am not offering obeisances to you because you are my father's sister. Not in that way. And nothing to do with it, she says. It's not because of that I have offered obeisances. But, Purusham Tvadyam, Ishwaram Prakrite Param, Alakshyam Sarvabhudanam, Andar Bahir Avasthitam. That one verse in the Bhagavadam summarizes the whole Krishna there. In the way Kundidevi understood Krishna. She says to him that, Namasye Purusham Tvadyam, Adi Purushan. Adi Purusha means that, you see, Prakriti and Purusha, two things, right? Prakriti comes from Purusha. Prakriti is the cause of, Purusha is the cause of Prakriti. And who is controlling the Prakriti as Purusha, and who is the Adi Purusha, and who is the controller, Sarveshwara, to him I am offering my obeisances. I am not offering obeisances to my nephew Krishna. I am offering to this, Samasya Purusham Dvadyam Ishwaram Prakriti Param. Right? Because he is the cause of everything. He is the cause behind everything. That ultimate cause. In other words, cause of everything. Cause of all causes, as they say. And that is Adi Purusham. Adi Karanam. Right? That's how Sridhara Swami mentions there. And I am offering obeisances to that Adi Purusha. Namasya Purusham Dvadyam. I am offering my obeisances to them. Because Prakriti is under Ishwara's control. Ishwara controls Prakriti. Right? And from Prakriti comes everything. Prakriti means Maya. Maya is Prakriti. And it is from Prakriti Ulpatti comes. Ulpatti means everything is come from Prakriti. And that is how Ishwara becomes the cause of this creation. Even though this is created by Prakriti, material nature, has done this creation, the cause of material nature is Ishwara. Therefore, Ishwara, they say, Ishwara is also the cause of this creation. That is how it is spoken, right? So, and he is also responsible for the Prakriti, right? Generally, you can say, he is the cause of everything. Karana Bhudam. Cause of all causes. For Prakriti is the cause, for creation is the cause. And similarly, in Shastram it is like this, that even though at different levels, different things comes, for example, from Prakriti comes Mahatattvam, Tanmatra, and all other things, which are ingredients for the creation. And every time Prakriti expands like this, Ishwara comes through Prakriti into all of that. He comes in, into that. So, he says that you are the cause of everything. Apart from that, you are presence inside as well, in the heart of everyone. Andar behir avasthidam. Andar avasthidam as andaryami. As andaryami, you are present inside. So, one who present inside in the heart, shayanam, puri shayanam. That's how the word purusha comes. And then one who is present in the, as andaryami inside, as the very identity of all of us, as atma surupam. അവർ സ്വരൂപം, ആത്മസ്വരൂപം ഈസ് അന്തര്യാമി സ്വരൂപം. സോ ആസ് അന്തര്യാമി പ്രസന്റ് ഇൻസൈഡ് എവ്രി വൺ ആസ് ദയർ വെരി സോൾ ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണ. ദാറ്റ്സ് ഹൗ കുന്തിദേവി സേസ് ഹിയർ. നമസ്യേ പുരുഷം ത്വാദ്യം ഈശ്വരം പ്രകൃതേ പരം അലക്ഷ്യം സർവഭൂതാനം അന്തർബഹിരവസ്ഥിതം. ദിസ് ഈസ് കുന്തിദേവി സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെന്റ് ഓൺ ദാറ്റ്, റൈറ്റ്? സോ ആൻഡ് ഐ എം ഓഫറിംഗ് ഒബെയ്സാൻസസ് ടു ദാറ്റ് ജഗദീശ്വര, ദ സുപ്രീം കൺട്രോളർ or supreme lord. I'm offering not to I have not offered obeisances to my nephew Krishna. Kundidevi says I offered obeisances to that Andaryami present inside of all the jivas, who is present in, as their very identity and from whom this whole creation has come. Andar bahir avasthitam, right? So Inside us, he is present as Andaryami. And outside, he is present in everything, and that is why we feel this world is existing. Otherwise, we won't experience it inside us. The fact is that so many living entities, and this whole creation we are experiencing inside, is because Krishna is present in all of them. That's why. Otherwise, we won't know it. This very existence of this world is felt inside. And that experience inside is felt because Krishna is present in the whole creation, everywhere, in everything. In everything. That's what she is saying here. That inside, outside. Andar bahir avasthitam. That is that word meaning. Alakshyam sarvabhudanam andar bahir avasthitam. Andar avasthitam as andaryami. Inside as andaryami. Outside, Krishna is present in the whole creation, and that is felt by us as they are existing, that awareness of their existence, right? So, but even though you are present inside as well as outside, as Andaryami inside, you are present, and the one who is illuminating this whole creation for us outside, you are present. And we know very well that it is only because of this presence that this body is able to work. The finger, even if you want to move, without his presence it won't happen. Whole body cannot function if Krishna is not inside. So his presence inside is there in this form. In the presence outside we are feeling because we are experiencing it. And that is indication that he is present outside. So inside as well as outside, he is present, and we are experiencing it in this way, right? And in this way, even though you are present inside and outside, we are not able to see you. Just see, Krishna is present inside, Krishna is present outside, but we can't see him. And why is it like this? Why are we so unfortunate that even though he is running this body from inside, present in the heart as Andaryami, and only by his presence this body is working. As soon as Krishna leaves, this body is finished, isn't it? Everything else may be there, but if Krishna leaves, this body is all finished with it. And so he is inside, that's very clear. By his presence we are seeing that, that the body is working. Similarly, this world we are experiencing because Krishna is there. Otherwise we won't know this existence of this world. It's not due to these eyes that we are experiencing this world or to the senses. It's only because Krishna is present in the creation that we are experiencing that. So inside he is there, outside he is there, but we can't see him. We can't see him, right? What is the reason for that? Kundidevi answers that. Maya javaniga channam. Next verse. You see there, Kundistuti? The answer she herself gives that. The answer. Why you don't see Krishna? Maya javaniga channam ajnadhokshajam avyayam na lakshase muda drisha nato natyadharo yatha. That's the answer. Even though Krishna is inside us, Krishna is outside us, we can't see him. Why? Maya. Maya has put the curtain in front. Maya javaniga channam ajnadokshajam avyayam na lakshase muda drisho nato natyadharo yatha. That is the answer, right? So Maya has this This is how Maya works. Maya's role, how Maya does the job, right? Maya put this curtain, and therefore Maya means avidya. Maya's avidya shakti, that has covered our ability to see things properly. This is the way avidya works. Avidya means ignorance. The avidya, which is the avidya maya, Maya's avidya power, covers our vision and makes us realize we can't see Krishna. And then we are asking each other, where is God, where is God? He is inside, he is outside. And anyone with a little bit of intelligence can think how this body is working. As soon as he leaves, body is finished. So his presence inside is very easy to understand. All the senses are working, the mind, the subtle body is working, the gross body is working. Everything is working due to his presence. And as soon as he leaves, it's over. And you don't require any more proof than that it was due to his presence it was working inside. Outside, you're seeing so many things, and you're thinking you're seeing with the eyes. Actually, you're not seeing with the eyes. Who is registering it inside? That is Krishna's presence in the creation. This will be repeated again and again and again in the Bhagavatam in several places to make us aware what Lord Brahma said, Krishna menam avehitam altmanam aghilaltmanam. He mentions there, isn't it, in that verse. Dehi va bhadi mayaya. Maya covers everything. So that is what Kunti Devi also saying here, that Maya has covered our vision properly, right? So due to that, even though he is right here in this world in front of us, we are unable to see him. And Krishna is adhokshajam. Adhokshajam means that with senses you can't see him. With senses you can't see him. That because Krishna cannot be perceived through our senses, he is called adhokshaja. He is called adhokshaja. Yeah. That is why Kunti Devi also says that. Maya javaniga. Javaniga means curtain. Ajna adhokshajam avyayam. He is adhokshaja, he is. Adhokshaja means don't try to see him with your senses, you won't see him. And avyayam he is, right? Avyayam means that he is permanently existing. He is always there. You will never be able to think that one day he will go. No, he is there always. His presence is always there. Ajna doshajam avyayam, right? And avyayam also means that he will remain the same all the time. No change happens in him. For consciousness, Krishna is consciousness inside, or the soul has this nature, it doesn't change. Change happens to our body, isn't it? Our mind and everything. But soul is concerned, soul doesn't go through any changes. Prahlad has spoken this, and again here also it's the same thing, right? And it is not something that was born one day. It always existed. Always existed, right? So anything what is created, that will go through these six changes. Shat Parinamam, it's called. That means it is born and it will be, it will start growing and it will stay like that for some time. And then it starts changing and then it starts decay and then eventually disappear. These are the six changes. Shad Parinamam, it's called. This happens to everything except soul. Except the soul, this happens. These six changes, because everything else has been created, that is why. Anything that is created must undergo through these six changes. This is the law. From Vedantam point of view, anything that has been created has to go through these six changes. That's born, then it starts growing, and then stays like that for some time, and then it starts, changes starts there, and then finally apakshayam. Apakshayam means it starts getting towards death, changing for death, and finally disappear from here. Abhirinamam, vipakshayam, nasham. It's called the six things out of that. Right. So, these six things doesn't apply to Krishna. These six changes. It applies to everybody else. The six things does not happen to Krishna. He is permanent, never changes, never grows, never dies, never born. Because he is never born, automatically all the other six things don't happen to him. Only if you are born, the other things will happen. That's the way it is. In the commentary, there's a lot of things spoken about it like this. That the nature of the soul is such, soul is never born, always existing. And because it's always existing, these six changes, what applies to matter or to material elements, doesn't apply to the soul. Soul is independent. Because he was never born, these six changes never happens to it. So, that is why I'm saying. Similarly, we are all situated inside this curtain called Maya. The curtain called Maya. And our avidya, ajnanam, or Maya, has covered our proper knowledge, right? So, even though he is present right in front of us, and we are unable to see him. He's here in the whole creation, everywhere, but we are not able to see him. And none of our senses can show him to us. Senses don't have the power to find him. You require some special senses. These senses are no good to see him, right? So, ajnanam or avidya, Kunti Devi is saying here, I am in that mode of ignorance, right? And through that maya, I have lost my vision. And even though you are present here now in front of me like that, I am not able to recognize you properly, right? Maya has taken over Viveka Chakshusa. That Chakshusa eyes are completely closed. Therefore, even though you are present inside as well as outside, I am not able to recognize you, says Kunti Devi to Krishna. So you can see the first two verses in Kunti Devi's prayers, Kunti Stuti. He said quite a good understanding of Krishna that she had. Namasye purusham tvadyam, ishwaram pragrave param, alaksham sarvabhudanam, andar behir avasthidam. Maya javaniga channam, ajnya doshajam avyayam, na lakshase mutadrisho, nado natyadharo yatha. Nado natyadharo yatha. So, this is one side of it. The other side, she is saying, that Krishna comes to this world and accompanied by Yogamaya. Krishna has these two potencies, Yogamaya and Mahamaya, which we call it as Yogamaya is Vidyamaya and Mahamaya is Avidyamaya. So, with the help of Yogamaya only, Brahmam comes to this world. Brahmam, Maya is present in Brahmam. When Brahmam wants to come, Maya makes all the arrangements. Maya helps the form to come. So all incarnations are with the help of Maya. You can see that also. That Yoga Maya is accompanying Krishna when he comes here. Why? Because Yoga Maya won't allow us to understand any incarnation properly. The incarnations who come here, whether it is Ramachandra or Krishna or any other Narasimham, any incarnation when they come, because Maya accompanies them at that time, with Maya's help, Maya keeps our vision covered. that we won't recognize that incarnation, who has come, right? And we will only be able to see him as an ordinary human being. This is what happens, right? So she's saying, I'm only able to see you now as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki because of this Maya. I'm only seeing you as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Your reality I'm not able to see, right? And Yoga Maya, Yoga Maya Samavratam. So, Krishna's reality, because I am ignorant, I am not able to see properly, says Kunti Devi. Only one place in the Bhagavadam where it is spoken very explicitly, this point, is that before the rasa dance. Bhagavan abhito ratri sharadot pulla malliga vichirandum manaschakre yoga maya mubashrida, it says. Before rasa dance, Krishna came accompanied by yoga maya. With the yoga maya's help, the rasa dance was performed. So there it is very openly said about Yogamaya's presence, right? So, I'm not able to see you because of this Maya, won't allow me to see you properly. Kunti Devi is saying this, right? But Ishvara Tattvam, that Krishna is the absolute truth. At the moment we are seeing him as son of Vasudeva and Devaki, like we see anybody else. But she's saying, it is possible to see you through sadhana. Sadhana anushtanam, if you perform, you will be able to realize Krishna inside as Antaryami, and outside he is present in everything. This can be realized through sadhana. That is the importance of sadhana. Without sadhana, it is not going to happen. To recognize Krishna's presence inside as Antaryami and Krishna's presence outside in this world can be seen, can be experienced through sadhana. Through sadhana. And in that way, even though he is beyond the senses, right? And even though he is not subject to any change, that Ishvara Krishna, through sadhana anushtanam, it is possible to realize him in the, realize him in the samadhi state, you can experience him. That's in the next verse. You see what she says? Tatha paramahamsanam muninam amalalpanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashemahi striyaha. Then paramahamsas have realized you. They have done that. How? Amalalpanam. By munis who are amalalpanam, who are so purified inside, heart is so pure, that they have realized you in this, your presence in the world as well as inside, both. They have realized that. That's what she is saying there. That even though you have come as an incarnation here, along with Yogamaya, Yogamaya Samavrata, in the Bhagavad Gita it says, Yogamaya, Krishna says that, isn't it? In the Yogamaya Samavrata, Mudhoyam Navijanadi, Logomam Ajam Avyayam. That's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, when I come with Yoga Maya. Mudhoyam nabhijanadi logoma majamavyayam. Because I come with Yoga Maya, this world cannot recognize me, Krishna says. They don't see, understand me. They think of me as an ordinary person. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Mudhoyam nabhijanadi logoma majamavyayam. Yoga Maya samavrata. Because I am accompanied by Yoga Maya. So, when Krishna comes like that with Yoga Maya, if you want to recognize him, Krishna has to reveal himself to us. We won't be able to see him because Maya is with him. Yoga Maya is accompanying Krishna. That is the problem. Because Yoga Maya is with Krishna, because of the presence of Yoga Maya, we will never be able to, on our own, find him. If he reveals himself to us, then we can understand who he is. Who he is, right? So, even for highly learned or jnanis or paramahamsas also, they require your mercy. That's what is he saying. Tatha paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham. Through bhakti they have reached that stage that you have revealed yourself to them, so they have understood. Now normal people cannot understand Krishna when he comes here. They think of him as an ordinary person. And these paramahamsas, through bhakti process, they have pleased you so much that you have revealed yourself to them. That's how they have understood. And if it is like that, what can I say about myself? Kunti Devi says, I am an ordinary woman. Katham pashyama histriya. What chance do I have? Even for paramahamsas, it requires your mercy. Otherwise, they won't know you. They won't be able to know you. So, that is what she said, right? So, paramahamsas or great jnanis or great mahatmas, even they cannot recognize you when you come here. And they are able to realize you as their very self inside, as Antaryami, as well as they also realize you present in the whole creation as Ishvara. So they realize you inside as Antaryami and outside present in the whole world. But when you come as an incarnation, even they may not be able to recognize you. So many things are kept outside our knowledge by Maya. Maya won't reveal anything to us. Lot of things Maya won't reveal to us, right? So, avataram, all incarnations, you can only understand if they reveal themselves to us. Only when they reveal it, right? So, Kunti Devi says, I have realized who you are and I offered my obeisances to you, and that too I got this from others have told me and from my own experience in life, and I have done all these things on the basis of that, right? Not that I have experienced you inside. Kunti Devi is admitting that. Kunti Devi says, I have not done any sadhana. All I am doing these things is based on the Mahatma's words, like Vedavyasa Maharshi and others. Obviously, I have spoken to her. And through these rishis, she has understood Krishna's position. And Kundi's Sthuti is based on that. So you can see each verse, it carries a lot of things in there. And this avataram, any incarnations, when it comes as Krishna or Ramachandra or Narasimham, all these situations, right, that we are not able to recognize them as the truth has come in front of us. For example, when Ramachandra was traveling in the forest, right, during the time when he was in exile, he had to visit a lot of ashrams, different rishis. That's what he did for Salsangam. Ramachandra used to visit all different rishis, ashrams in the forest. So many years he had to spend there. Similarly, but out of them, so many rishis he has visited, but out of them only 12 rishis were able to understand that this Ramachandra is Krishna, Narayana himself. Only 12 of them. And that includes Bharadwaj. Bharadwaj Maharshi and other 11 rishis, only they knew that this Ramachandra is the supreme truth has come in this way. Not everybody. Even the rishis. There were so many rishis in the forest. Ramachandra was going from one to another all the time with Sita Devi and Lakshmana, visiting them, till Sita Devi was kidnapped and then the war happened with Ravana and all that. But till then, so many years he had to spend in the forest, and those days, only 12 of those rishis were able to recognize Ramachandra in that way. Similarly, in Krishnavadaram also, in Ramavadaram this has happened. In Krishnavadaram also, to recognize Krishna as the absolute truth and is Ishvara, and only very few people were able to recognize Krishna that way, that this is the absolute truth who had come in this form. For everybody, he was like an ordinary human being. for everybody else. Who are the people who have understood this is the absolute truth? Sudama understood that this is Brahman itself has come. Vidura understood. And similarly, you remember that Bahulashya and Shrutadeva, they have understood that this is Brahman, right? And Uddhava understood. So only a very handful of people knew who Krishna is. Everybody else saw Krishna as another person. Maybe he had little bit more skills in him or capacity in him. That's how they saw him. Yogamaya won't reveal that information to anyone. A few people like this, Sudama, Vidura, Bahulashya, Shrutadeva and Uddhava, there's very close associates with Krishna, only were aware Krishna's actual position, who he is. Not everybody. It was kept outside their knowledge. So this is the situation in this world, right? So, those who were able to realize Krishna's position like that, they were very close to Krishna, obviously, right? And Krishna has revealed to them who he is. And so even to understand that who Krishna is, to know the reality and to see Krishna as the Ishvara, Supreme Lord, you require his mercy. Only when Krishna gives you that mercy, you will understand him. And saying all these things, Kunti Devi offers prayers to Krishna. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagova Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Nama. Saying all these three verses before, Kunti Devi finally says to Krishna, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandadeva Kumaraya Nandagova Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Nama. This letter, Krishna, Krishadu has got, Krish means also Sat. Actually, Sat, Chitta, Anandam is Krishna. Krishna is called Sachidanandam, isn't it? Sachidanandam is Krishna. So, Sat, Chitta, Anandam, those three things is present in that word Krishna. So, Makaram, in Akaram is Anandam. Krishna, Anandam. Anandam is Akaram. So, what Satta, Chitta and Anandam. Satta, Chitta and Anandam is always together. You cannot break it away. They are always together. Sachidanandam is always together. And that is Krishna. And Sachidananda Swarupam. What that means is, from those three letter words itself, Satta, Chitta, Anandam, you can understand that Satta means eternal. It existed always. That means it had no birth. It had no birth, Sata. And Chitta means it's fully conscious. Fully conscious. That means Bodham. We all have consciousness, isn't it? We are all conscious now. This, what is this consciousness? Is Krishna. Krishna is that consciousness inside us. We become conscious of something. Just like you can see from deep sleep when you wake up, you become conscious of this world. You become conscious of yourself. How does that happen? Because inside, because of Krishna's presence inside. That's what I'm saying. Though Satta is that something that is not born, always existing. What is that? This consciousness. That always exists. But when the three states comes, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, it may cover sometimes, but once they go away, again consciousness comes back. And the very nature of that consciousness is Ananda. Means blissful. By nature we are supposed to be blissful, not miserable. By nature. By nature. But there is nobody more miserable than us, isn't it? In the world, we are supposed to be blissful. But we are not feeling the bliss. So, Krishna means these three things. Satta, Chitta, Ananda. Satta means that has not been created and no, don't go through any changes. because it's not been created, it is existing all the time, therefore it doesn't have any change. All the other six things what we spoke about, the matter or the body, doesn't apply to him. Because he is Satya. That's what Satya means. But that thing that never goes through any changes and remains the same forever. It has neither beginning nor end. What else? It's not dependent on anything. Nirabeksham it is. These two things. First thing, it is never born. It's always existed. It has never born. And because it's never born, the six changes that happens to matter doesn't happen to it. It doesn't go through that. And because it's never born, it doesn't have any death either. Neither death happens to it. So that is the aspect called Satya. Chitta means that consciousness all the time existing. And everything we are experiencing in him because of the presence of this Krishna inside, called Sachidanandam inside. That Chit Shakti is the one what is called the Bodham, awareness. Anandam, avabodham. Sandranandava bodhatmakam, bodham. Bodham means consciousness. Then the nature of that consciousness is anandam, always blissful. Always blissful. So this Satya Chitta Anandam is Krishna, right? That is Krishna. And that is what was spoken there. Vasudevaya Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devagi Nandanayacha. So out that verses there, Krishnaya Vasudevaya, from a bodily level you look at it, it is Devagi and Vasudev's son, from a bodily platform. But actually look at it from the spiritual side, it is Vasudeva means the Satyam, pure Satugunam it is, Shuddha Satyam. So you remember that Vasudeva Sangarshana Pradyumna Aniruddha. Vasudeva is present inside us in the subtle body, isn't it? So that Chaitanyam or the living force that is present in Vasudeva, that is this Vasudeva referring to there. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya means that Chaitanyam, that living force, what is present in Vasudeva. What is present in Vasudeva, and due to his presence, he is not covered by the ignorance, avidya. Avidya. Vasudeva is present inside chittam, is it not? Mind is aniruddha, and pradyumna is in the buddhi. And Balaram is Sangarshana in the Ahankaram. Out of the four things, all these things we must remember, because otherwise it's very difficult to understand this. That subtle body has got these four things. Manasa, Buddhi, Ahankaram, Chittam. The Adhishtadra Devada, or means the predominating deity in the mind, is Aniruddha. The predominating deity of the intelligence is Pradyumna. The predominating deity of the Ahankaram is Balaram, Sangarshanamurti. And the predominating deity of the Chittam, or memory, is Vasudeva. So that Vasudeva is referred to here. That who is present in Vasudeva as Chaitanyam. Everything is Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam means the living force, consciousness. This consciousness is permeating into everything and doing different functions. Through mind, intelligence, senses, everywhere, it is Chaitanyam that is doing everything. So what he's saying here is that in Vasudeva, that Chaitanyam present in the Vasudeva, and whose presence inside us as pure consciousness, and that presence in the memory as pure consciousness is Vasudeva. Andaryami outside. Andaryami goes into the subtle body, into all the four. And they are given these four different names. But actually they are all one. Balaram, Aniruddha, Pradyumna and Vasudeva. They are all one. But because they go into four different functions, into four different departments, mind, intelligence, ego and memory, they are referred in these four different names. Vasudeva, Sangarshana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Aniruddha, right? Andaryami inside, is addressed as Govinda. Govinda is the Andaryami inside, who controls everything, the whole activities inside, right? And that is Govinda, which is our Atma Swarupam. That is how this name Govinda has got so much prominence. He is present inside as Andaryami, and that is our very identity. Our identity is that. And that Chaitanyam, again it is the same thing. One thing only, but coming in different roles inside as Andaryami. And she says, Nandago Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. She offers obeisances to, praying to all these different roles inside being played by the same Chaitanyam. Same Chaitanyam who is playing all these different roles inside. In the subtle body as well as outside as Andaryami, she is saying, offer obeisances to that Chaitanyam. And that's you, Krishna. He says, and Kunti Devi offered obeisances to Krishna that way. Krishna, that way. Then, after that, she says, then, this is the main prayers, Kunti Devi's. After that, she is talking about family life. The next topic, right? She says, I was in the middle, me and my children have gone through a lot of sufferings in this world. And you have come and protected me, always, right? And apart from that, you have installed my eldest son as the emperor of the throne, right? And we have got back our kingdom. Kunti Devi is talking about her, the rest of the story, right? And he has got so much opulence now because of your mercy. At one time they were in the forest, they had nothing. They were in serious trouble, isn't it? So she says that you have, for a Kshatriya, this is the biggest thing, success in life, to get this position as the emperor or the king. And you have done that for him, for Yudhishthira, right? And I have been given the position as the mother of the emperor. And now you are leaving us and telling us everything will be okay, right? And you are asking to, telling us to say goodbye to us. And actually, what is important here, Kunti Devi says here, right? What is the greatest, you are talking about distress in life. Kunti Devi is saying that what is the distress in life and what is the danger or what is the happiness in life? She is saying that danger or what you call abhata sambhata. In other words, abhata means the danger. The danger is what one is likely to experience in life. Or the greatest success in life, happiness in life. She is saying here that in the next verse, she will go further and said that 25th verse, Vibhada Sanduda Shashwal Tatra Tatra Jagal Guru Bhavado Darshanam Yasyal Apunar Bhava Darshanam. In one verse, Kunti Devi says to Krishna that the things what we think as dangerous in life, dangers in life, actually they are not danger. She said, normally in our life, we are always worried about something going to happen and we are frightened about that. That's how we live in this world, isn't it? Constantly fearful about something is going to happen. Either for health, or for the wealth, or for the family, or for something else, whatever it may be, there's always something to be fearful about in this world. Kunti Devi is saying, you are worrying about all these vibhata, that's vibhata sandhuta shashwal. Those vibhata, what you are thinking as danger, is not really danger, she says. And On the other hand, in our normal material consciousness, we feel certain security and shelter in certain things. Like if you have a lot of money in the bank, you feel security. Or if you have a good family life, family around you, you feel some security from that. Or a good close relationships with other members, you feel security from all that. Kind of security, false security it is. So Kunti Devi is saying, things what you think is security in your life, actually it's not security. Similarly, things what you think is what you think as a danger in your life is not really danger. It's not really danger. That is due to Maya you feel that way, that they are secure and they are giving you protection, right? Actual danger, she says, is when you forget Krishna. That's the only danger here we have. There's no other danger here. When you forget Krishna, that is the greatest danger in life. Vibhada sanduna shashval tatra tatra jagadguru bhavado darshanam yasyal apunar bhava darshanam. When you forget Krishna, that is the greatest danger in life, says Kunti Devi, right? So, actually, you are living in this world, a proper life is there, only when you remember Krishna and living in this world. That is real life. All other life is danger. Rest of it is danger, right? When you are thinking about sense objects, sense gratification, our life is jiva shavam. We are living, life is there, but we are dead. Practically, there is no Krishna consciousness at that time, right? So, she's saying, whenever we had a danger in our life, all the time you have come and protected us in one way or the other. And we got an opportunity to see you, and due to that we were able to remember you, and that is our wealth, she says. Kunti Devi is saying that when we had danger, you were always coming and protecting us in some form or the other, and that was our wealth, says Kunti Devi. So that's what is said there. Vibhada sanduna shashval tatra tatra jagadguru bhavado darshanam yasyat. Vipatta or dangers when it happens, you have come and protected, and therefore that is our good fortune. All the dangers in life has become good fortune to us. Right, and due to your that is the greatest wealth for us. And when we were suffering in this world materially and wandering around in the forest and being troubled by the Duryodhana and others at that time, we always got your protection, right? And due to your presence, no danger could give us any trouble, and it didn't disturb our mind either. So, and when the danger is gone, and we were protected by your presence, always we lived under your care. We lived under your care. And whenever you were with us, what we have experienced, due to your presence, that happiness what we are getting from that has gone now. Why? Because there is no more danger. So Kunti Devi is saying that you are leaving us now, you are going back to Dwarka, and we will be losing your association. You won't be with us, and we won't have this opportunity to see you all the time. So, if through dangers, if lot of danger comes in life, troubles comes in life, I consider them as good fortune, because when dangers happen, you will come. And when you come, in your association, we feel happy. And we feel peaceful and we don't get disturbed about anything. But now I am worried that you are going away. Will that affect our peace inside? We won't feel that same happiness like before, right? So she is saying that verse, Vipada Sandhu നശ്വല തത്ര തത്ര ജഗദ്ഗുരു ഭവതോ ദർശനം യസ്യാൽ അപുനർഭവദർശനം. The reason she is saying this is that if we have this opportunity to see you all the time, and if that has to happen, because you will only come when we are in danger, and if it has to happen that way, that only in danger you will come and give us protection, I don't mind having a lot of danger. Lot of dangers in life, lot of problems come in life, it doesn't matter, because when problems come, happens, you are coming and protecting us, right? And she saying, let them come one after the other, right? At least I'll get the opportunity to see you, and through that, I will feel my life is worth living in this world. Kunti Devi says, instead, if you go away and you have given us this kingdom now, Yudhishthira to manage, and naturally the chances are that people will get affected by that, comforts, sense gratification, opulences, all these things bring that. What is the use of all this? Kunti Devi says, what is the use of all these things, right? And these things can come and they can go anytime. Therefore, more important than that, she's saying, seeing you all the time, this darshanam, that is what I am looking for. Kunti Devi says, so if that has to happen through different problems in life, through dangers in life, so be it. It doesn't matter. Let dangers come. I don't mind, she says. And for everybody, this is important. For everyone may not be able to think like Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi is saying like this. Krishna had come and Krishna had protected her in all difficulties. But this way, everybody may not be able to think in this world. For many people, when there is some serious crisis in life, problems comes in life, sometimes they turn into wrong ways, isn't it? They lose the control themselves. Sometimes they can even commit suicide and give up life in this world because they get so fed up with life, right? So, so she's saying here, Krishna's mercy is so important that even when distress comes in life, not to lose the balance of mind. Not to lose the balance of mind. So, dangers are good to happen in life, but Kunti Devi is reminding us that in dangerous situations like that, we should be more attached to Krishna rather than moving away from Krishna. For many people, it happens the other way, that they are not able to take Krishna's shelter when they are in trouble. Instead, they go the opposite way. This happens. To many people it happens that way. So that's what she is saying here. Because the reason is, she's saying that, next verse, Janmam Aishwaryam Shruti Shri Edhaman Amadappuman Naivaharta Abhidadam Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. These things, which one? Janmam Aishwaryam Shruti Shri. These four things, right? Then, Edamana Madapuman. They create Janmam, birth. Aishwaryam is all the opulences. Then the Panditiyam, or knowledge and power. All these things makes a person very proud. They become very proud. And naturally, when that happens, he won't be able to take your shelter. He will be reluctant. When these things are there, Janmam, Aishwaryam, Shruti, Shri, right? And he won't be able to, Edamana, Madhapuman, they will be arrogance, ahankaram will build up inside, right? So for such a person, he won't be able to chant your holy name, or what to speak about seeing you, that question doesn't arise. That's what she's saying, akinchana gocharam. She won't be able to see you, your presence. Actually, she's saying the only wealth is Krishna. Krishna is the only wealth. And all other material opulences or wealth in this world, actually it's not wealth. Kunti Devi says there, right? And people who have taken shelter of this material wealth, right? And able to withdraw their mind from all this material life and completely surrender to Krishna, and serving Krishna and pleasing Him, only such a devotee is visible, can see Krishna properly. That is completely put it through this verse. Janmam, Aishwaryam, Shruti, Shri. That creates the ahankaram inside. They will not be able to see you. Why? Naivahart abhidadam vai tvam aginchana gocharam. You are only visible to those people who have completely controlled their mind, surrender to you completely, and a devotee who has pulled himself out from materialistic life and taken your shelter completely, only they will see you properly. Kunti Devi is saying this. You can see Kunti Devi's concern. What Kunti Devi is saying is, at one time they had nothing. After problem with Duryodhana and others, Kunti Devi and the children had to leave home. And many, many years they spent in the forest. They had no place to live. And these children were not grown up. They were small. And she was the mother. And she had to look after all of them. Feed them. No place of residence either. And Duryodhana was continuously giving them problems, one way or the other. Dhritarashtra was not showing any consideration for her. Vidura tried very hard to persuade. Vidura was aware of everything what was happening. Somehow or the other, Krishna protected them all those 12-14 years in the forest. And now the material situation has changed. They have come back to Hastinapur. Mahabharata war was over. They have got the kingdom back. Lot of opulences have come back to them in their life. They got their Kshatriya's role, kingdom to rule. Kunti Devi is not forgotten the olden days. She is saying, we felt happy in those days when you were coming to us and protecting us. We feel those days were better than now. Now you are going away and all these opulences have come to us. And this is not a very favorable situation to remain in Krishna consciousness. This is Kunti Devi's analysis. Kunti Devi saying, wealth and higher birth, higher knowledge, position, power and all is not favorable for Krishna consciousness, because that will only generate ego inside, and it is easy to forget it at that time, Krishna. It is not possible to surrender to Krishna. It will only be a show outside. Internally, the shelter is in the wealth. The shelter is in the family and other things. And that's what she is saying here. Janma Aishwarya Shruti Shribi Edhamana Madapuman Naivaharta Abhidadam Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. Akinchana Gocharam means that it is not visible for everyone. Only people who are completely exhausted in material life, they will see you. You are visible to them. Only they can understand your position. They will understand your position. Right. So those who have gochara means visible. Gochara means visible. Only for akinchanas, he is gochara. Akinchana means one who has nothing. Materially, what they say, materially impoverished. Completely exhausted. Right? So, when there is a lot of danger in life, and you are in the middle of all that, at that time your ahankaram won't come up. Isn't it? Ahankaram disappears at that moment, right? When at that moment we will recognize your presence in this world. We recognize Krishna's presence, right? So that is only happening because so many dangers are coming in life, and that's your mercy, says Kunti Devi, right? And therefore, let me pray for those dangers to come again and again in life. She said, and this is an unusual prayer. We all pray to Krishna to take out all our problems in life. Isn't it? We don't want any trouble. We want to be, just leave me alone. Don't give us any trouble. Kunti Devi is praying exactly opposite. She's saying that, I have this experience, she said, that whenever I was in trouble, you were there. And you were protecting me all the time. And I was happy to be like that, rather than not having any trouble, but not seeing you anytime. Krishna, she's feeling shelter in Krishna rather than in the anything in this world. She's not feeling any shelter in anything else except Krishna. And that is the important thing. To feel like Kunti Devi, to feel shelter in Krishna rather than feeling shelter in money, shelter in the family, shelter in the society and things like that. And that's what that verse is talking about. Vibhada sanduna shashul tatra tatra jagadguru bhavado darshanam yasyal abunar bhava darshanam. After saying that, about Krishna's appearance, she is saying, there is a different opinion about you, why you have come, right? And she is saying different things what people are saying, why you have come, right? And they all have different opinions and they are all correct. All of them are correct. And out of them, whatever you feel correct, most correct, you can accept that. That's the way it is. She has put it like that. Namo aginjana vittaya nivrta gunavrtaye atma ramaya shandaya kaivalya padhaye nama. And that none of them are wrong what she is going to say here. Why Krishna has appeared in this world, right? And among those different things, because what she's saying here is that they're saying that you have come here to, because you wanted to glorify Yadu, King Yadu. Because you became Yadava, because you appeared in Yadu dynasty, right? Some people are saying you wanted to glorify Yadu. For that reason, you appeared in the family of Yadavas in order to glorify Yadu. So people will say that Krishna appeared in the Yadu's dynasty, that Yadava Vamsham, right? And just like he said, that the Kejid Ahurajam Jadam, Punya Shlokasa Kirtaye, Yado Priya Sanyuvaye, Malaya Seva Chandanam, 32nd verse. She's saying that just like sandalwood grown in the Malaya mountains, how the smell of the sandalwood grows everywhere from that. Similarly, Yadu's fame, you wanted to spread all over the world, and for that reason you have appeared in the Yadavas. This is opinion of one group of people, right? So, naturally when Krishna appears in a particular family, that family becomes very famous. Is it not? And you will be obviously remembered from whom this family has begun, from Yadu. Krishna is a Yadava, and therefore everyone will remember Yadu naturally, because Yadavaya, Madhavaya, Keshavaya. Krishna is the Yadava. So, due to that, Yadu became famous. Yadu became famous. And some others are saying that you wanted to spread the glory of Pandu. Pandu's glories, right? And some others say that you wanted to make Yudhishthira famous. Yudhishthira is famous. And therefore, in that family, you have appeared for that reason. And different devotees have different explanations to it. And some others say that Lord Brahma has prayed for you to come and relieve this earth from its burden. And for that purpose you have come. This is another opinion. right? So then, so 32, 33 and 34 is the different opinions of different people about the reason why Krishna has come. Then Kundi Devi says, my opinion and is different, she said. That is the 35th verse. Bhavesmin klishya mananam avidya kama karmabi shravana smarana arhani karishya nidhi kechana. That's her opinion. She's saying that I am thinking, she said, that 36 also. Shrunandi gayandi grinandi abhishnasha smarandi nandandi tavehidam jana ta eva pashyandi ajrena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. She is saying that first thing, avidya, kamam, karmam, three things. Avidya, kamam, karmam. What is avidya means? Avidya means we have forgotten our identity. That is avidya. Avidya is such that we are thinking we are this body now. Not anymore. We are thinking our actual surupam inside as consciousness. We have lost that. We are not feeling that anymore. We feel that we are this body, and that is avidya. And due to that, what happened? Identification with the body means dehabhimanam, isn't it? Dehabhimanam, feeling that I am this person. Individuality or personality, this is all avidya. Individuality, personality, and identification with the body, this is avidya. This is avidya, which is not real. Because you know, as soon as we leave this body, that's gone. Identification with the body has gone. That shows that it's not real. But throughout life, we operate on this basis, based on the body. That's avidya. To think that I'm this body and living in this world, identifying with the body, is called avidya, right? Or personality. And due to that, what happened? As soon as you identify with the body, the next moment, what we do is looking for gratifying this body, for gratification, sense gratification, and that is called kama. So avidya leads into kama. Identification with the body leads into sense gratification. Naturally, when you are identifying with the body, you want to keep the body comfortable, and you need everything what you can get in this world to keep this body in a comfortable state. Is it not? So avidya leads into kama. And when you realize that this gratification of the body is the whole purpose of life, which is kama, you require money for that. Without money you can't do anything. And for that you go for karma. This is how it has happened. Avidya, kama, karma. One follows the other. Avidya, everything begins with avidya, but it develops into kamam. From that avidya comes this kamam. And from that kamam comes the karma. That's what Kunti Devi is saying here. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmabhi. Now what is the problem here? Problem is these three things, avidya, kamam, karmam, there is one in between that. When you do karmam, karmam creates karma vasana inside. So avidya, kamam, karma vasana, and then avidya, kamam, karma vasana, and that way it goes. Avidya, kamam, karma vasana. Yeah? Avidya, kama, karma bhi. So avidya, kamam, karmam, karma vasana. That's how it is. Four things. These three becomes four then. That's where the problem starts. Originally it is avidya, kamam, karma. But karmam becomes karma vasana. And karma vasana means what? Another body again. Isn't it? Karma vasana means once you have developed karma vasana inside, you will have to come back. You have no choice there then. So avidya kamam karmam becomes avidya kamam karmam karma vasana, and due to that another body, and that's what she's saying here. Bhavesmin. Bhavam means to take birth again. You have to accept another body again. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi. In one line Kundi Devi put the whole thing. You see? So Kundi Sudhi, then she said that and due to that karma vasana, what has come from karma, you keep rotating in this cycle of birth and death. And that is called samsara, material existence, right? So this avidya kamam karmam is the cause of everything. And in order to come out of this avidya kamam karmam, the only option for that is shravana smarana arhani karishya nidhi kechana. Hear about Krishna, chant Krishna's holy name, and keep remembering Krishna all the time. That's the only way you can get out of this. It mentioned clearly there. Shravanam smaranam arhani karishya nidhi kechana. By hearing about Krishna, it ignites remembrance of Krishna inside strongly. Smarana. Smarana will become very strong. The same thing what Shuga Brahmarshi says later. Kunti Devi is already saying this. She is saying that continuously hearing about Krishna will ignite that memory of Krishna so strongly inside. That's called smarana. And through that smarana, you escape from this cycle of birth and death. There is no other way. She is saying that. Yeah? So, in saying that, she said that so, in order for us to hear about Him, to glorify Him, to talk about Him, incarnation is required. And it is for that purpose you have come. This is another opinion. So, all these things are correct. None of them is wrong. But this last one, what Kunti Devi is saying, is attractive to most of the devotees. It is true that by appearing, Krishna wanted to glorify Yadu. Krishna wanted to glorify Yudhishthira. Krishna wanted to glorify Pandu. And so many other things are mentioned there in the previous verses, right? But Kunti Devi is saying, for me, this is what matters. That avidya kamam karmam, which will turn into karma vasana, that is the greatest danger, because I have to come back again with another body and suffer, go through this cycle again and again and again, one after the other. And that's what I don't want it. And by your coming here, we are able to glorify you, talk about you, remember you. And when that memory of you becomes very strengthened inside, smarana becomes very strong, we don't come back again anymore. And that is the benefit, she says. So that's why in the next verse he said that, in the 36th verse, Shrinvandi, Gayandi, Grinandi, Abhishnasha, Smarandi, Nandandi, Tavehidam, Jana, Ta Eva Pashyandi, Achirena Tavakam, Bhavapravaho Paramam, Padambujam. Bhavapravaha means this cycle of birth and death. That is Bhavapravaha. Bhavapravaha means our life is like a flow, isn't it? We got this body today. Tomorrow we will get rid of this body. And then we'll get another one. Somewhere. We don't even know where that will be. In which species. Who will be the parents. Where that will be. Nobody knows anything. And in that body we live for some time. As much it is this time. And then we leave that body. And goes into another one. In this way. This is bhava pravaha. So that's what Kunti Devi is saying here. That devotees, she says, think like this, right? So that we can glorify Krishna, hear from Krishna, and able to remember Krishna and develop bhakti in that way. And what happens? When bhakti develops in the heart, eventually it turns into self-realization. We realize who we are. We are not this body. Surubha Jnanam comes there, and with that, avidya kamam karmam has gone from inside. And we escape from the birth and death cycle as well. And so Krishna has appeared according to Kunti Devi and according to many devotees is to help us to get out of this material existence, samsara, in other words. Right? And for that purpose, you have performed all these pastimes, Leela. And when you are doing these pastimes, he is saying here, it gets an opportunity to talk about Krishna, to hear about Krishna, and in that way, continuously, when one absorbs in Krishna, chanting the holy name, remembering the form, offering obeisances to that form, and hearing those pastimes, in that way, it will develop into bhakti, very firm bhakti, and with that turns into self-realization, and with that, avidya kamam karmam is over, and with that, we have escaped from the material existence, samsara, right? So, after saying all that, Kunti Devi is praying to Krishna for very strong bhakti. She says, drida bhakti, very strong surrender to him, Krishna. And she is saying that, at that moment, that ta eva pasyanti ajrena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam padambhujam. And then finally she said to that is the last few verses. Adha vishvesha vishvatman vishvamurte sokeshu me sneha bhashamimam chindhi dridam pandushu vrishnishu toime ananya vishaya madhuru madhupade asakral Radi Udduhada Dagdha Genge Vaugha Muthanyoti Shri Krishna Krishna Saga Vrishabhava Nabdrup Rajanya Vamshadahanana Pavarga Virya Govinda Go Dhija Surarti Haravatara Yogeshwara Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. Saying all those few verses, Kunti Devi offers obeisances to Krishna and saying to him, all I am asking for is to give bhakti. That's all Kunti Devi asked, to give bhakti. And that for that she says that first you have to break my connections with this so-called family. This family, and particularly for women, from two sides, from husband's side one family connection and from parent's side another connection. So Kunti Devi saying both. Vishwamurte sneha bhasha mimam chindi dridam pandushu vrishishu. Pandu side she has got connection, and Vrishni side also she has got connection. She says, these two ropes I am tied with, please cut them off for me, she said. That's how it is, that the connections, as long as they are there, it will always be there inside. You will not be able to come out from that. You will feel very strongly bound by that. And therefore, Kunti Devi's prayers mostly is centered around mamata, attachment. The next person who comes, Bhishma, is the other one, ahanda, inside. That ahankaram inside, Bhishma. Bhishma didn't have these problems, what Kunti Devi had. Kunti Devi's problems was attachment. So she said that to Krishna ultimately, unless you cut this off, I won't be able to get that exclusive attachment to you, which I want at this stage in my life. Kunti Devi is quite old by now, and she does not want to get this family business to go on forever. So she is saying this openly to Krishna, that sneha bhasha mimam chindi dradam pandushu vrishnishu, and then she says, ananya vishayam, that my mind does not turn, go in any other direction. Madhur madhupade asakral radhim udduhada dagdha gange vaugham uthanyodi. Just like Ganga river is rushing towards the sea, to join the sea, in the same way, let my mind go towards you in that way. And Govinda Godhya Surat Yogeshwara Akhila Guru Bhava Namaste. Saying this, Kunti Devi offered obeisances. And at that point, Yudhishthira comes there. And Yudhishthira says to Krishna, don't go now, please stay, he said. And Yudhishthira was not in a very good mood. He was a little bit upset. Yudhishthira started thinking, a lot of innocent people were killed in this war. Yeah? And what was the need of this war? after this whole war is over, he is thinking this. Yudhishthira is feeling very strongly about it. He is saying that, why did this war happen? So that I could become the emperor, isn't it? Yudhishthira is saying this, right? And sometimes people are saying this is dharma yuddham. Any yuddham, any war is not good. Whether it is dharma yuddham or any other yuddham, because it's all destruction only. At the end it is nothing but destruction. So he is saying here that I had to, this is called a dharma yuddham, it was based on dharma, this war was fought, right? And when you are allowed to king enemies, when they are giving trouble to your population, whom you are ruling as a kshatriya, right? So protecting the subjects, or to give them relief from the enemies, only then you can call it as dharma yuddham, right? So, for a king to protect his own subjects, if he has to fight enemies, that is considered a dharma, dharma yuddham, right? But I didn't fight for that, right? In fact, on the other hand, Yudhishthira started feeling that I was fighting this for myself to become the king instead of Duryodhana. And in that process, so many innocent people were killed in that process, right? And what atonement I have to do for this, right? And he started feeling very strongly, for how many years will I have to live in the hell because of all what I have done, right? And he couldn't sleep at night thinking about all these things. His heart was burning, and he says to Krishna, till I get pacified, you don't go, you stay, right? And then he also said to Krishna, you are talking about some atonement? I don't have any faith in any of those things, he said. Yudhishthira is saying to Krishna that, whatever you are telling me, oh, we will perform some yagam, ashwamedham yagam, three ashwamedham. And that will wipe out all the sinful reactions. Yudhishthira is asking Krishna, that do you think all this, what you are telling me, is all right things? I have no faith in that, he said. Because Yudhishthira's logic was, I have committed a lot of violence to others, right? And now, in this yagam, again you are going to kill animals. Ashwamedham is animals, slaughter is there, killing is there, right? So I don't understand that you have committed some violence to somebody and you are trying to solve that problem by atonement, by killing animals in this. Another violence here. How does that work? Yudhishthira is asking Krishna all these things, right? So, Vaidika Yajnam, all the Yajnams in the Vedam, there is Himsa in many of that, right? So, Yudhishthira is saying that I can't say that I've killed all those people by mistake. It didn't happen. If it has happened by mistake, I can understand. But it didn't happen by mistake. I just wanted to become the king, and Duryodhana was my enemy, and therefore we got involved in this war, and in that process a lot of people got killed. Right? So, it is not making sense to me that so many people were killed due to me, and now you are asking me to perform this yagam, and that will solve all the problems. Yudhishthira deals with Krishna just like his younger brother. That's how Yudhishthira deals with Krishna. He is not thinking, oh, he's a supreme personality of Godhead and all that. No such thing. Yudhishthira just deals with him as a family member, right? So, and Himsa dosham means the sinful reaction from violence. That's Himsa dosham. And that reaction, can you wipe it out with another Himsa, violence again, right? They give the example that there is mud in your feet, in your feet, and you bring muddy water and start washing that feet, it's not going to go away. It will get more muddy. So in the same way, he's saying examples that suppose by chance you had to drink alcohol. A mistake happened, you had to drink something, right? And to get rid of that, if you drink more alcohol, will that cure the problem? That's the kind of example he's saying here. Krishna says, at that moment, Krishna says to him, if you are not convinced with my logic, what I have told you, then let us go to our senior, Bhishma Pitamaha, and we will ask him about it, what he has to say, right? Fortunately, he's still there. He's not dead. He's still there, right? And we will go to him, we will ask him, and whatever he says, we will follow that. Krishna says to Yudhishthira, right? And that's where you find there. Vyasadhyay Ishware Ajnyay. That verse, famous verse. 46th verse. Vyasadhyay Ishware Ajnyay Krishne Albudakarmanaha Prabhodidobi Idihase Nabhudyeda Shucharpitaha. He's saying that everybody thought Krishna was getting ready to go to Dwaraka, isn't it? And even the four Kumaras had come there. The four, Sana Kumara, Sananda, Sanatana, Sanat Kumara, the four Kumaras, they had come. And other great yogis had also come to see Krishna before he goes to Dwaraka, right? Even they did not understand what was going on. They could not even understand. That's what it says here. Vyasadhyay Ishware Ajnyay. No, but this is the difficulty with Krishna. What Krishna is planning inside, nobody will know. You will come to start thinking later on, after everything is done, that Krishna had this in his mind. Because at this moment, Krishna was aware that Bhishma is ready to leave the body there. He knew this at that moment, right? And Bhishma is praying there, lying on the bed of arrows, that he would like to see Krishna before he leaves this world. He wants to see Krishna lying on the bed of arrows. That is in the field, he's lying there. And here Krishna knows that Bhishma wants to see him, right? And he was not giving up his body till he get to see Krishna. So with all that pain, everything, tolerating. Of course, in the photographs and all that, they show as though he is having a nice nectar bed with a 16-inch foam, all that. But poor Bhishma, he was lying on these arrows everywhere. Arjuna has given support for the head with the arrows, and all over the body these arrows are gone in, and he's lying in that situation. And he's hoping that Krishna will come before he leaves this world, right? So in order to go there and to pacify Bhishma and to glorify Bhishma, he created this disturbance in Yudhishthira's mind. This is how Krishna's work. Nobody understands this. In order to glorify Bhishma, Krishna deliberately created this disturbance in Yudhishthira's mind. And even though Krishna tried to pacify him, it didn't happen. And that is how they all started together going to see Bhishma, right? So, that was Krishna's, and that is why he mentions there that when Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, it worked. He felt peaceful, he was willing to fight. But when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira, nothing worked. The same Bhagavad Gita, what was spoken to Arjuna, it worked. He became peaceful. Who? Arjuna became peaceful and he decided to follow what Krishna said. But same Bhagavad Gita, when it spoke to Yudhishthira, it didn't work. Rather, Yudhishthira became more disturbed after hearing Bhagavad Gita. That is the way Krishna is. Understanding Krishna is not easy. We think that, oh, Bhagavad Gita is answer for everything, isn't it? But it didn't help Yudhishthira though. It didn't help him. So that's what he's saying there. That Bhagavad Gita didn't help Yudhishthira. So naturally Yudhishthira agreed to go with him. Let's go and see Bhishma then. And what Bhishma had to say. After hearing Bhagavad Gita, Yudhishthira got more disturbed. Instead of getting peaceful, he became more disturbed, right? So, whatever Krishna Sangalpam, that's how things will happen in this world. So, the idea was that Krishna wanted to glorify Bhishma, and it is leading, and Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman, that Krishna has special feeling for the devotees, right? And Krishna has a nature that Krishna's devotee, Krishna likes to glorify all the time, right? And so, Krishna says to Yudhishthira, I gave you my advice, but you are not peaceful. And let's go to Bhishma and talk to him. And let's see what Bhishma had to say. And maybe you may get peaceful after hearing from Bhishma, he said. So, the intention behind that was only to glorify Bhishma and to fulfill that desire what Bhishma had. Because when Bhishma study, when you study, you will see there that how Krishna glorified Bhishma. The way Krishna had interacted with Bhishma, you will find there. So, only for that purpose, Krishna wanted to show to Yudhishthira, what I could not do, Bhishma could do it for you. In that way, and for that purpose. Only for that purpose, this disturbance was created in Yudhishthira's mind. And apart from that, Bhishma was a highly learned person. Mahajnani he was, right? And he is a treasure house of knowledge. Who? Bhishma. Treasure house of knowledge. And what all knowledge Bhishma has, even Bhishma himself don't know about it. Such a treasure house of knowledge, right? And once Bhishma has gone, that knowledge will be lost in this world. And there will be no way of getting that knowledge back again, what Bhishma had about life and various aspects of life, right? Nowadays we think that everything can be stored in the laboratory or in the disk or hard disk or whatever. And then we won't use it also, it will be lying there and we will be going on with our own life. Knowledge is useless when it is not used in life. That knowledge is useless, isn't it? It may be in the hard drive, but if it is not used in life, what is the use of that knowledge? So, that generation, Krishna's and Bhishma and all, they believed in using that knowledge in life. They didn't want to store somewhere and feel happy from that. We will think, oh, they didn't have the technology. So that's why they couldn't store it. Whereas we have got the technology now. We can store everything. And we don't need to know anything. Everything is there. Like you go to some people, they'll keep all the Bhagavatam sets, everything nicely in the rack. And you go, and they'll be sitting there, and through the Zoom they'll be talking. And you will think that they have read through all that Bhagavatam, what is written there, nothing. They're not even opened. Many of them lie there as they are, never touched even. So that kind of knowledge, is better not to show that. But that is the normal system, right? So they all arrived along with the Pandavas and Krishna and Pandavas and Krishna and Vedavyas and Dhaumya Maharshi, they all came there. And that is what is the fourth verse, you see. Drishtva Nibadidam Bhumo in the ninth chapter. Divaschudam Ivamaram Pranayamu Pandava Bhishmam Sanyuga Sahachakrina. That they arrived there and when they looked at Bhishma, Bhishma was like a demigod who has fallen from the sky. And he was lying on this bed of arrows. And all through the body, these arrows have gone inside. And apart from that, but he's not feeling the pain. And that is why he was compared to a demigod there. He was not feeling the pain, but people who see that, they felt it very much, right? Normally when you see the deity form, Deva Vigraham, you only see the smile there in the deity form, right? So, a little smile, and generally the deity is covered with knowledge. Jnana Prakasham it's called. The light illuminating from the face of the deity is considered to be knowledge. The manifestation of knowledge, Jnana Prakasham. Right. So, and that is why they say there is a effulgence around the deity's face. And people, normally, you don't stand right in front of the deity, facing the deity like this. That's not considered to be proper. You have to see a little bit on the side, not blocking that prakasham that's coming from the deity. And so, so this happened, and then Bhishma's position at that time, Bhishma is already in a realized state. And he's not knowing the pain, because he's not identifying with the body very much, right? Only thing was, he was waiting for Krishna to come. He was waiting, right? And as soon as they arrived, first thing was, Krishna offered obeisances to Bhishma. Can you imagine? Okay. Krishna has offered obeisances to Bhishma. That is what Krishna thinks about Bhishma. You can imagine from that. Expecting Krishna to offer obeisances to Bhishma, right? When Krishna, actually, along with that, as soon as Krishna offered obeisances, all the Pandavas also offered obeisances to him. And before they arrived, the rishis knew that Krishna is coming there. So they were already there. All the rishis, great personalities, they were already there. And they knew that something is going to happen here. Something is going to happen. Bhishma is going to talk something. And this is going to be probably the last talk Bhishma is going to do before he leaves this world. So there will be something worthwhile listening from that. Rishis expected. Even the rishis had great respect for Bhishma. So they have not come there. All the Pandavas had come there. Now Krishna has also arrived. And how Bhishma is going to leave the body, they wanted to see that. Who? The rishis wanted to see that. And how Bhishma is going to go back to Krishna. Yeah? So we'll talk about it after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davadni nirvapanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pratipada purnamrita swadhanam sarvatna subhanam varam vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam Namna Magari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nimida Smarnena Kala Eda Drishita Vakrupa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdeva Midrashamiha Janina Nuragaham Tranarabi Shuni Chena Tranorabi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Nathanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadi Shakamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhagavad Bhakti Rahai Tuvitvai Ai Nandata Nuja Kingaram Patidamam Shame Bhavam Budau Kripayata Vapada Panga Jastida Doli Sadrasham Vichindaya Nayanam Galada Shudharaya Vatanam Gadgadaruddhaya Gira Nidam Kadava Bhutava Nama Grahane Bhavishari Dham Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayidam Shunyaidam jagal sarvam govinda virahename Ashlesha vapadaradam pinashtumam Adarshanam marmahadam karyotuva Yathatadava vidadadhulam vado Malprananatha sunayemanapara Sarvatra govindanam sankirtanam Govinda govinda. So everybody arrived in front of Bhishma. Krishna is offered obeisances to Bhishma. Krishna offered obeisances to Bhishma first, followed by all the Pandavas and the Rishis who are present there. When Krishna offered obeisances, automatically others have to realize that Bhishma's position. And they offered obeisances to Bhishma. And Bhishma wants to offer obeisances to Krishna, but he can't. He's on this arrow's bed, isn't it? But inside his heart, Bhishma offered obeisances. How? That this person in front of me is the very soul inside. Recognizing Krishna as Antaryami inside, as his very existence, Atma Tattvam. And that was very clear in Bhishma's heart, that this Antaryami inside is Krishna, who is in the form outside. And with that recognition, Bhishma offered obeisances to Krishna from his heart, without physically doing that, right? So then he looked at the Pandavas. When he saw the Pandavas, his mind, he felt a little uneasy inside. Why? Because he thought that they were being very unfair to them, the Kauravas. And Bhishma was always with them, with the Kauravas. So that feeling of little guilty feeling is there in Bhishma's heart, right? And then he says to him, Aho kashtam, aho anyayam. That's why those verses. If you look there, you will see Bhishma's words. Bhishma is saying that, that's in the 9th chapter, 12th verse. You can see the feeling of guilt in Bhishma's heart. Bhishma is saying, Aho kashtam, aho anyayam. Yeah? Yad yuyam dharma nandana, jividam narhada krishtam, vipra, dharma, achyuta, ashrayaha. That this should not have happened to you, what has happened. It shouldn't have happened, he said. That a lot of suffering you had to go through in life, yeah? And a lot of distress has come, and that's not fair, Bhishma says, right? It should not have happened, but Why does he say that? Because in Bhishma is saying, Pandavas always followed dharma. Vipra dharmam achyuta ashraya, he says. That normally we suffer in life. Why do we suffer? Because of our mistakes, what we commit in life. What are they? For example, if you offend great personalities, in any way, great personalities, if you offend them, insult them, or deal with them in a bad way, and if they are hurt by that, that will come back to us. One. Number two, in our dharmam, execution of dharmam, if you make mistakes, due to that, you could have problems. Number three, by offensive to Krishna, Isharaninda. These are the three things normally that can happen. Offense to Krishna and offense to Mahatmas, or in our execution of karmam, sadharmam in this world, mistakes that has happened. Mistakes in the sense that in that process you have given trouble to others, cheated other people, or given pain to others, hurt others. All that can come back to us in some form, right? So, these three things has not happened to you. Bhishma is saying to them, Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta, Ashraya. You have taken shelter of all the three. You followed Dharma, you taken Krishna shelter, and you have always served the Brahmanas. Brahmana don't mean in that way. Sometimes in the Bhagavatam they will use this word Brahmana or Vipra. And people start thinking this is the Brahmana. Actually what they are referring to is Mahatmas. It is in that sense you have to see that word, Vipra, right? So, these things haven't happened to you and you have never deviated even a trace of, away from the path of Dharma, right? And you lived that life, nothing has happened, And you have always been very respectful to great personalities, devotees, jnanis. And there also nothing has gone wrong. And Krishna is always with you all the time, trying to protect you. And what that shows, that you have not committed any offenses to Krishna either. Because Krishna is spending so much time with the Pandavas. Bhishma says, you have not offended Krishna, because if you have offended Krishna, Krishna won't be with you. The fact that you have acted in this way, Krishna is definitely pleased with you. Or the great personalities are also happy with you. You have never offended them. And in your dharmam, you always stuck to the path of dharmam. You never deviated from the path of dharmam. If it is like that, why did this happen? That's what he is saying there. Why did this happen? So, if you look at the verse 15. In the 12th verse he says, Aho kashtam, aho anyayam, yad yuyam dharma nandana, jividam nar halakleshtam, vipra dharma achyuta ashrayaham. Then he says, yatra dharma suto raja, 15th verse, gada panir vrigodara, krishno stri gandivam chapam, suhul krishna sado vipal. 15th verse, right? He's saying that Yudhishthira is the dharmam personified, Yudhishthira. And that Yudhishthira is there with you, right? And what that means is, Yudhishthira won't deviate from dharmam. He was so particular about that. Dharmam was everything for Yudhishthira. Dharmaputra he is called, isn't it? Dharmam personified is Yudhishthira. With that, there is no question of doing anything wrong as far as dharmam is concerned. You are always very strictly adhering to dharmam, right? But just by following dharmam alone, you won't be able to get rid of distress in life. This is another thing. Just because you are following dharmam very rigidly, strictly, doesn't mean that you will be free from distress in life. Distress in life, right? That requires some strength in life. Paurusham, ability. And even that is not missing in your case, because you have got Bhima and Arjuna with you. So, dharmam is concerned, Yudhishthira is there, who is always very strictly following dharmam. That way you are protected because of that. Now, just because dharmam is there doesn't mean that life is going to be free from distress. No. Distress will still come. But then you require some people with some strength and ability. And you have got that as well in the form of Bhima and Arjuna, right? So, that part is concerned. You are not lacking anything. Dharmam is there, Paurusham is there. Paurusham means this ability of strength from Bhima and Arjuna. So therefore, then why did this distress come to you? Why this situation happened like this, right? So that's where it says, dharmam and paurusham. Paurusham means this strength or ability in the Bhima and Arjuna had. They were all experts in their particular field, isn't it? That Kshatriyas, they were very experts in that. That these two things are not enough. A third thing called the mercy from Krishna. That's also required, right? Only if you say like that, that is also you got. Krishna is always with you. Krishna's mercy is also required. These two things, dharmam and the paurusham, that you already have. And then you say you require the mercy from Krishna, that's also you got. Krishna is always with you. Then why did this happen? This is what Bhishma is saying. Bhishma's question is very good. Because he's saying that in life also it's like that. We start thinking when things go wrong, why did it happen? Where did things go wrong? Isn't it? Everybody asks this question. Where did things go wrong? Sometimes you don't get an answer to that question. Where did things go wrong? We are always asking this question. Why did this happen? Even now they are saying this. If you look into this war happening now, in the American channels, one of them are saying, why didn't we know that this was coming? One person is asking. Why we, so many intelligence services operating in this world, so many big leaders are talking to each other, they have so many meetings going on, we have got United Nations, we have got this, that and the other. Why didn't we know that this was coming? They are asking this question. So life is not so simple, is it? You can put everything into the boxes and fill and get an answer from that. No, life is more complicated than that. That's what it is saying. So here, then, the question was raised by Bhishma, and Bhishma gives the answer also to that. Bhishma is saying here that Krishna is with you and still you have to suffer. Still you have to suffer. And this is where you understand Krishna's, then another form called Kalam, how it works. Krishna, we say Krishna is with you. Yes, Krishna is with you. That's right. But Kalam is also working here. Krishna has spoken about Kalam in the Bhagavadam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? Kalosmi loga kshegar pravartha. This world move under the direction of that thing, this thing which cannot be defeated. And that is called Kalam. All the time. That brings changes into this creation all the time. Kalam changes everything. In the third canto you will see this. Kalam, Swabhavam, Jiva, Ishvara, they all work together. So even though Supreme Personality, Krishna himself is with them, Krishna's another energy is called Kalam. That is also because it is Kalam that makes the creation. When Kalam, that force of Krishna, when it agitates Maya, that's when creation begins. Maya, normally these three modes of nature, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. In the balanced state, creation doesn't happen. What agitates Maya is Kalam. Kalam agitates Maya, and that's when creation begins. Rajogunam becomes powerful, and creation starts. And so it is keeping these things in mind, he says, that sarvam kalakritam manye, he says there. You remember that? Yeah. Nahyasya yatra dharmasuto rajan. Yeah. Yeah. Sarvam kalakritam manye is saying that this whole thing is Kalam behind it. Kalam is Krishna's another form which is operating here, right? And that thing, Kalamurti, Ishvara, right? Then the question will come, Kalam, will that like a devotee getting distressed due to this? If you have taken Krishna's shelter and Kalam is Krishna's energy, one energy, will that create problem for this devotee then who has taken Krishna's shelter? Naturally these questions will come, isn't it? Devotees also ask the same question. Why we are having this problem? Devotee means he is surrendered to Krishna. Everything is taken care of then. It's like an insurance policy, is it not? So, but why is not happening then? So, sometimes, in order to show to the world, Kalam will give trouble to the devotees also, right? And this incident is not to show, to tell the world that it is not due to your fault this has happened. When a situation like this happens, we have to understand that it's not anybody's fault this has happened, right? So, to show to the world that my devotee, even if he has to go through difficulties, he will take my shelter still. To show this to the world. That is what a good devotee will do. When situations like this happen in life, a proper devotee won't get disturbed over it. He will accept that, that this is Krishna's desire, that this has happened in this way. And he will still take Krishna shelter, knowing well that it is Krishna's desire that this has to happen in this way, what it has happened. Of course, these are things to be understood properly. Otherwise, we can lead into misunderstanding. It's not these experiences spoken in the Bhagavatam that why Pandava suffered like this. They had to go through, were to walk through the fire practically. So many years of continuous suffering. Kunti Devi on her own had to manage with these children in the forest. Why did that happen? Where is the answer for that? And in the palace, Duryodhana and the Kauravas were enjoying comfortably. They didn't show any mercy to these people, to Pandavas. And they had to tolerate all that. And it took a long time to come out of all that, right? So, to show, here, Bhishma is saying, Krishna has done this only for one reason, that his devotees, even though they've gone through trouble in life sometimes, to show to the world that you, by putting you through this distress, that a first-class devotee, he will remain in dharma. He will not deviate from the religious principles. To show to that world for that, he has put this Pandavas into this situation. And there, in spite of all the problems they had, Pandavas were still very much devotees of Krishna. They remained as devotees, right? And in order to show to the world, Krishna has put you through these situations, and all that trouble what you had gone through is for the benefit of the world, says Bhishma. The problems you have gone through in life is for the benefit of the world. Why? Because the world will understand proper devotees means like Pandavas, that even though so much distress has come in their life, they never gave up on Krishna. They stayed in Krishna consciousness. They didn't leave Krishna consciousness. That is the strength of to show to the world the strength of a devotee. Their faith, right? So, says to him that it is not your fault that this has happened. Sarvam kalagridam manye, it says, right? So, kalam, Krishna is another form, as he says in the Bhagavad Gita, kalosmi loga kshegra pravartha, logan samahartha miha pravartha. So, and Krishna's desire, what is going to happen in this world, every moment, nobody knows. Bhishma says that, right? And only very few rare souls, great personalities, they may be able to understand that. Personalities like Lord Shiva or Lord Kapila, great rishis like that. They may understand the big plan behind it, what Krishna is doing with everybody, right? So, you may be thinking, he's saying to the Pandavas, oh Bhishma, you may be thinking that Krishna is your uncle's son, yeah? And what all he has done for you, he was your charioteer, he was your representative, emissary for the peace negotiations, right? And he stayed with you all the way through during the war, and all because he had a lot of attachment for you. He has taken care of you. And actually, he is the soul of everybody. Bhishma is saying, he is the soul of everyone, and he has no feeling for anyone. Because he is the soul of everybody, he doesn't have samoham sarvabhodeshu. He is equal to all. He doesn't think one is close to him, one is away from him. Because he is present in both. He is present in everyone as their very soul inside. And therefore he is called samoham sarvabhodeshu. Samadarshitam. That qualification of samadarshitam. Equal vision. You see that imperfection in Krishna. All the great realized souls, they all have this equal vision. And we are supposed to be aspiring for that equal vision, right? Samadarshitvam. But samadarshitvam, if you want to see perfectly, it's only in Krishna, that equal vision, right? And because of that, He is merciful to everybody equally, right? But devotees will recognize that. Others won't. That's the difference. Devotees will recognize Krishna's mercy. They can understand Krishna's mercy and they will recognize Krishna's mercy in their own life, how things have happened. And that is where the important thing. Non-devotees, with them Krishna deals differently. Why is that? For them, Krishna is only a person who gives the results of their actions. Karma bhala dhadava. That is his position. Krishna's relationship with non-devotees is only as a person who gives them the results of their actions. Karma phalam. Giving the karma phalam. That's all Krishna does with them. When they perform pious activities, Krishna will give them happiness. We are talking about non-devotees who have no interest in Krishna. When we say devotees, non-devotees, what that means is, certain people have taken spiritual life seriously in this world. They have accepted that. Certain people haven't. That's all. That's the way you have to speak. Don't think that when I say devotee, one who has got initiated and one who got shikha and wearing dhoti and put tilak on, that's a devotee, and others who don't put it on, they are not. That's not the way it is. The one who has taken spiritual life seriously, accepted that Krishna is present in the whole creation, Krishna is present inside, through philosophical understanding, who has understood Krishna, they are the devotees. And who have rejected Krishna philosophically, they have not accepted Krishna's authority on anything. Rather, they have accepted on their own abilities and their own success in life. So, those who are independent of Krishna. That it is in that sense. So, here he is saying, for those who are away from Krishna, those who have turned their back, who have turned their back towards Krishna, Krishna's relationship with them, he said, he will give them the results of their pious activities and he will give them the results of their sinful activities. That's the only relationship Krishna has with them. Those who have turned their back towards him, right? That means, that is called karma bhala dadava. Karma, one who gives the results of karma. That is Krishna's relationship with them. Nothing more, nothing less. He has no enmity towards them. He's not inimical towards them. He doesn't hate them. But the only relationship is that whatever pious activities they have done, Krishna will give them the good results of that. If they have done sinful activities, Krishna will give the results for that as well. And there, the relationship finishes. Not more than that. Right? So, and for devotees, it's not only that. Not only giving results of their karma, right? Devotees also experience Krishna in life, in different ways. How Krishna's mercy comes in life, devotees knows that. Devotees have that experience, right? So, and then Bhishma says, why has he come now here? Why do you think he has come here? Bhishma is saying his own life, and he's saying to him, saying to the Pandavas, why do you think Krishna has come here now, right? Because in my mind I was thinking, I want to leave this world seeing that form, Krishna's form. I wanted to see Krishna's form and give up this body. And he has come, because I had that desire, he has come to fulfill that desire. Bhishma had no doubt about it. And he took great pleasure in saying that Krishna had come to see him at the time of this last moment of departure from here, right? I have not specifically prayed for that, but all through my life I have been thinking about him. That's called smarana. Bhishma is saying this, that I haven't asked him to come or anything, or prayed for that, but constantly I was remembering him in my life, right? And because of that, if you do that, he says to Pandavas, Krishna's mercy will follow you. Without asking for it, it will come, right? And so then there is a long conversation about dharmam, adharmam between Bhishma and Yudhishthira, right? after hearing all that, Yudhishthira got cleared of his doubts after hearing from Bhishma, whatever doubts he had. So there is two big cantos in the Mahabharatam, Shandi Parvam and Anishasana Parvam. Both are referring to this Bhishma's Upadesham, instructions to Yudhishthira. Very many, many, many hundreds of chapters goes like that, right? All types of topics are discussed there, and Bhishma is a treasure house of knowledge, right? And things what Bhishma knew, nobody else knew about it. If you read Bhishma's history, you will find. So, Krishna had this plan that he wanted Bhishma to open up that treasure house of knowledge and reveal everything to the people who are present there, especially to the rishis who are there, and also to all the Pandavas there, right? So, and what Bhishma has spoken, Vedavyasa Maharshi put that all into Mahabharata, right? And Krishna pulled that out, everything from there. And only thing is, Vedavyas actually recorded it for whatever he has spoken. Vedavyas kept it and put it in the Mahabharatam, and Krishna brought it out from Bhishma. Bhishma spoke everything because Krishna has prompted him to do so, making Yudhishthira to ask such questions and making Krishna to speak everything, and Vedavyas recorded it like that. And it is there you find the 1000 names of Vishnu spoken there, Vishnu Sahasranam, right? And then he says there that my time has come to go. Bhishma is saying, my time has come to go, and you should stay here till I leave, and I should be able to see you. And that beautiful eyes, what Bhishma has seen in the war, and I wanted to look at those eyes and that smile and all this Vaishnava Vibhuti in its original form as Vishnu. I would like to see that, he said. And Bhishma prayed for that, and Krishna granted that desire, agreed for that, right? And Krishna stayed there till Bhishma left, right? And then after these things, Bhishma says to Krishna, that is the Stuti part of it. After he has finished with Yudhishthira, then the Bhishma Stuti happens. And the Stuti says to him that everything what has happened in my life, all this karma, what I have done. Bhishma has done a lot of karma, isn't it? So many things happened in Bhishma's life. He says, everything I offer has been prompted by you from within. I have done that. And actually, it's like a samarpanam for Bhishma, his life, performing a samarpanam to Krishna. And says to him that all the results of my actions, I offer it to you. You have prompted me from inside to do all the karma what I have done, and all the results from that karma, I offer it to you, right? And I am praying to you for ekanda bhakti, pure bhakti. That's what I am asking for. And saying this, Bhishma finished his connection with this world, right? And came out as Satya Chitta Anandam, like we see show in the picture. A light comes, and the light comes and joins Krishna, right? So that is spoken like that because the rishis who are present there, they could see that Satchidanandam inside. He is also Satchidanandam, Satya Chitta Anandam. That has come out, which was inside, that was Krishna inside Bhishma. Is that Satchidanandam? It came out in a form, and it came out through the eyes. and gone and dissolved at Krishna's feet. At Krishna's feet, you will see that 32 verse. When it begins that, Shri Bhishma Uvacha, Idimadhi Rupakalpita Vitrishna, Bhagavadi Sattada Pungave Vibhumi, Sosukham Upagate Kuchid Vihartam, Pragriti Mupe Yushiyat Bhava Pravaha. What Bhishma had to say to Krishna at that moment, right? My mind, he says, my mind, let it get dissolved completely at your lotus feet, right? Vitrishna, he says. Use the word Vitrishna, right? Material desires has completely gone from my mind. Itimadi upakalpita vitrishna. Vitrishna means there is no more material desires. I have nothing, I don't need anything anymore. No desire left in me. And that mind, which is vitrishna, let that be completely filled with bhakti for you. Attachment to Krishna. Then let that come and joins you. Bhishma is saying this, that let my mind, which is completely free from any desires, let that come and join you. And that's why he's saying here, Svatvada Pungave Vibhumni. He says, what that means is that Bhagavadi Svatvada Pungave Vibhumni, the second line, that Vibhumni means Krishna alone has these six opulences, isn't it? Aishwaryam, Samagrasya, Viryam, Yashasa, Shri, Jnanam, Vairagyam. The six opulences is only present in Krishna in full. Nobody else has got that. Everything in full. You can't think anything beyond than that. Krishna's opulences are concerned, right? So, in that Krishna, let my mind go and get dissolved, he says, right? That Sattuda Pungave means that Krishna who is protecting always devotees. Sattuda is those who have taken Krishna's shelter. Krishna's devotees who think of Krishna as their very soul inside. And Krishna protects them, and that is Vibhuti. So sukham ubhagade kojidvihartam pragrdi mubeishi yel bhava pravaha. Krishna's position from Bhishma's point of view is that he's understanding, Bhishma is saying this. All this is from the Upanishads, spoken in this way, through Bhishma Stuti, Vedavyasa Maharshi has put that through. What he is saying is that Krishna's existence is complete. Why is it said like that? Means, Bhumava means, these are little bit technically spoken here. Desham kalam, time and space does not have any limitations on Krishna. Time and space have no limitations on Krishna. this is taken from the Kaino Upanishad. What it means that kalam desham, time and space, if something is limited by kalam and desham, then it is called alpam. Alpam means limited, right? And if anything that is limited, there is no permanent happiness in that. There is no permanent happiness in that. So, kalam desham, kalam, time and space, when they are not limiting somebody, what that means is that something that is present throughout the creation, which means that if creation is existing, it is existing in Krishna, not Krishna existing in the creation. What it is that something that is present throughout, we are talking, that is beyond our imagination. Why? We can't even imagine one universe. This universe where we are living now, in this universe there is so many millions of stars and millions of planets, everything, right? And we have in that so many planets, this one planet called Earth. And in this one planet Earth, we are sitting in one small place and we are talking about Krishna. And we can't even understand Krishna's presence in this one universe. Imagine there are billions and trillions of universes existing like this. That means within our mind we can't comprehend Krishna. Isn't it? Krishna we can't comprehend. We are used to seeing the form in the temple. And we start thinking this is Krishna. I met him personally, I say. Krishna. But actual Krishna is Bhumava he is. Bhuma, that's what that say, word used there. Vibhumni means that. Vibhumni means that beyond your comprehension, with your mind you can't even understand Krishna. Not only this one universe, they say trillions and trillions of universes exist and Krishna is present. How can you comprehend that with your mind? Impossible, isn't it? So that's what he's saying here. That means he is not limited by space. That's what that means. Space has no... For us, we are limited by space, isn't it? Suppose I am sitting here. So I can say this 2 feet square space I occupy. That's how much I am limited to. Krishna is not limited. That's what that word Vibhumni. This whole Bhishma Stuti, if you study, lot of Vedantam in that. Because Bhishma was very much aware of the Upanishad's knowledge. And he's saying that you can't understand Krishna because he is not limited by space anywhere. Desham, time and space. Space has cannot put any limitation on Krishna. What that means is, in your highest imagination, you can't even understand what Krishna is. When they say Krishna is so vast, present in all these creation, whole creation, all the universes, we don't even know how many universes exist. And constantly these universes are created and they are destroyed continuously. And Krishna is present in everything, in everywhere. That's what that word Bhagavati Sattvada Pungave Vibhumni means. Vibhuti. That means space-wise he is not limited. Then, what else? This Ulpati, that means born sometimes and getting destroyed sometime. That is the limitation of time. What time does to us is that, isn't it? Time brought us, gave us some time here. This so-called Kalam. Kalam allowed us to come to this world at a particular time. And Kalam knows when we have to leave this place. So Kalam is a limitation on us. Desham, space is also a limitation on us. Time and space, both of them, are limitation on us. But they don't have any limitation on Krishna. Krishna is concerned, time cannot do anything with Krishna. Because Krishna existed always. Consciousness, Bodham. Bodham is Krishna here. That Bodham is spoken about. Bodham exists all the time. It existed all the time. And it will always exist. So Kalam or time has no limitation on Krishna. Space or Desham has no limitation on Krishna. That's what it is saying here. Kala Deshavadi Bhyam, it says. Kala Deshavadi Bhyam. Kalam and Desham cannot put any limitation on Krishna. This you have to remember. Why? In so many studies, this will be repeated again. The same thing will be repeated. And I will be repeating that and you will be getting bored also, hearing the same thing. So this is the difficult part of it. That Kalam, Desham, This, if you keep on thinking about Krishna in that way, you will realize that what you have been thinking and I was thinking about Krishna is different. We are used to someone who is born in Gokulam, went to Vrindavan, went to Mathura, went to Dwaraka and left this world. This is how we understand Krishna. But when you see Bhishma Stuti, Bhishma begins with this understanding first. Kala Deshavadibhyam. Kalam and Desham cannot do anything about with Krishna. It cannot have any limitation of Krishna, right? That means one who is present in the whole creation, everywhere, not only this planet, not this universe, in all these billions and trillions of universes, Krishna is present there as consciousness. Satta, Chitta, Anandam is present there. And that is the only reality. Everything else is false. What we are experiencing through these senses, we are accepted that as the reality, and that is avidya. That is avidya. So, that Bhumava, he is called Bhumava. And Bhumava is a word in the Kainopanishad, and in the Bhagavatam, yes, use the word Vibhumi. Vibhumi, right? So, that Bhumava, that is where eternal happiness is. Once you become part of that, right? Bhumava means, automatically, the meaning is that it is eternal. It automatically comes there, that meaning. Right? So, then why did he say Bhumava? Because the Anandam aspect of Krishna, right? Or the perfection in everything is only in that Krishna, in Krishna, right? And nothing else has got that perfection what Krishna has got, right? For example, we are all limited in our life, isn't it? We have got only a short span of life. Vedam says Shatayu Purusha. That means perhaps we may get about 100 years maximum if you get it that far. Sometimes you may have to quit early, but maximum you can expect that much, not more than that, right? So, similarly, for demigods who are in the heavenly planets, Sorgalogam and all, for them, compared to us, they have got a longer life. They have got a longer life. So, because our 6 months is one day for them, our 6 months is one night for them. So that means our 1 year is one day for them. Similarly, they have got 1,000 years life compared to our 100 years here, right? So, only comparatively you can say they have a longer life, comparatively with us, right? So, it is because of that only we call them as Amara. Devas are called Amaras because of this. That in relationship with us, they have got a longer life. Therefore, just like if you take the life of a small amoeba or a worm or something, which may be born and may not last many hours and it will die. So compared to its life, we are eternal, aren't we? 100 years life. So everything is relative in this creation, right? So not that demigods don't die, devas don't die, they die, but compared to us, they live a much longer life, right? In the same way, this is about Sorgalogam. If you go higher than that, there we have got Janalogam, Tabalogam, Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tabalogam, Satyalogam. 4 planets above than that. They have a much longer life. They all have got the same life as Lord Brahma. Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tabalogam, Satyalogam. They all have the same lifespan as Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma has, right? But Brahma also has got a limit on life, right? So, the Bhagavatam says, Dvaparardham. Devotees have calculated in number of years how much it comes to. Our years. And it comes to a few billions of years. I don't know, it's mentioned somewhere. Brahma's one day is so many billion years and then I don't know how that will help us, but knowing all that, all you have to understand is Brahma had such a long life, right? Billions and billions of years compared to us. So when you hear that, we hear with our 100 ears, that too if we get that far, imagine where we are now. With this 100 years, we are trying to understand all these personalities with billions of years life. Trying to understand, right? But at the end of those billion years, Brahma also has to leave the body, right? So that means eternity in real terms, nobody has except Krishna. Eternity in real terms, right? That perfection is not there in Brahma or even for those who are in the higher planets. Means Mahalokam, Janalokam, Tavalokam, Satyalokam. Satyalokam is Brahma's planet. Even those who are residing there, even they don't have that eternity what Krishna has. You can't even put a life on Krishna's, how long he is going to live. No, it's eternal. It's eternal, right? So that purnata, that perfection in that eternity is there. It is only to show that that word bhumau is added that the word vibhumni. It became bhumava, became vibhumni because of that. And vibhumni is a word to represent, to clear that doubt in our mind. That eternity is only in Krishna. Eternity is only in Krishna, right? So, nobody else has got that. Bhumav means nitya vastu, eternally existing, and it is not affected by time or space, and it doesn't have birth, ulpati or nasham or destruction, right? Which in other words, what it means is, it is pure awareness or consciousness, and it is Chaitanya. Pure awareness, consciousness, Chaitanya. Shuddham, Bodham, Chaitanya. That's what it is. Chaitanya. Chaitanya means consciousness. It is pure consciousness, it is. Bodham, awareness it is. And then that is the only thing external. And whom we call as Krishna, that pure consciousness, Bodham, Chaitanya, is addressed as Krishna, right? So in order to confirm that, vibhumni word is used. So vibhumni word is quite a complex word. It carries the meaning from the Kanobanishad title of Bhumava, and to that made it more complex with the word vibhumni, right? So then he says, sosukham upagate. Every word in Bhishma Stuti is important because Bhishma was a very highly learned person as well. He's saying here, sosukham upagate. Sosukham upagate means that Krishna doesn't require anything from outside for his happiness. He is happy within himself all the time. Sosukham upagate. We all require something outside, is it not? We want food if we want to enjoy the tongue. And we want good heating system if we want to enjoy the weather, and to cold weather we don't want. So lot of things, everything from the world we are taking things to keep ourselves happy, right? Or if we hear some nice music, you feel happy. Nice kirtanam or nice songs, you enjoy that. And similarly, food, clothing, same thing. So we are always looking for things from outside world to keep ourselves happy. Krishna doesn't. Krishna don't need it. Krishna's happiness is inside. Oh, that's what that word is. So sukham upagate. So sukham. Sukham for Krishna is inside. Atma Rama he is. This happiness of the soul, we can only talk about it now. Experience-wise, we don't know what that is. Nobody understands it, isn't it? So that is why many people think that this is just words. No, it's not words. If it was words, rishis wouldn't have spoken about it in the way they have spoken, right? And he's saying here, even though all these things are going on, so sukham upagate, that he is still Atmarama. He is completely established in himself. He knows who he is. That's the difference. We don't know who we are. We say, oh, I am this, I am that and all. But we also know that we are not that. Even though we say, I am this, I am that, and we have got our passport and identity card and all that. Does it mean anything? Has it got any reality? No, it doesn't mean anything. It's something for vyavaharam purpose. To live in this world, you get all those things. But from spiritual point of view, we don't know who we are. This is our situation at the moment. Whereas Krishna's position is, Krishna knows who he is. This makes a big difference. He always knows who he is. That's why he is called Atmarama. Atmarama means that he knows that he is pure consciousness. He is pure consciousness, right? And in between, when he feels that to benefit of this world, for the creation, he decides that, when he feels that, then he remembers Maya. At that time, when he remembers Maya, Krishna remembers Maya at that time, and when he remembers that, millions and millions of universes comes from him, and they come out, and then in that way, creation, maintenance, and dissolution, srishti, sthiti, and samharam happens, and when that happens, at that time, while this is happening, incarnations happen. That's when incarnations happen. When srishti, sthiti, samharam, creation, maintenance, and dissolution is happening, in the middle of that, Krishna comes in the form of incarnations to help the jivas who are going through hard life in this world, right? So, and when he comes like that, it gives an opportunity for those jivas who have taken his shelter, for them to understand him, and they allow that the jiva's mind to go and dissolve in Krishna completely. And that is how he is saying here. He is saying here, Idimati upakalpita vitrishna bhagavati sattvada pungave vibhumni so sukham upagate kochidvihartam prakriti mupayushi yal bhava pravaha. Bhava pravaha means this continuous journey through these modes of nature. Prakriti's modes of nature. What is our life actually? Life is nothing but a journey through the modes of nature, isn't it? Throughout life, what is happening to us? This sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam is controlling us all the time. Due to these three modes of nature, we get the three states also. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. They come from the three modes of nature. Because the three modes of nature is present in us, that is why we are experiencing these three states. And that is our life. Is it not? That's our life. So, that thing, what's happening to us, is not happening in Krishna. Krishna is always conscious of everything. He is Bodham itself. The consciousness itself is Krishna. So, Krishna, to be understood that way, that some Krishna is that pure consciousness, Chaitanyam, present in this whole creation everywhere. Srishti, Sthiti, Samharam, creation, maintenance and dissolution is happening because of that consciousness. And while this is going on, he comes in the middle as incarnations there. And Bhishma is saying, it is an opportunity for the jiva to completely dissolve in him. Means their mind gets absorbed in Krishna. And if the mind gets absorbed, means his subtle body is destroyed. And once the subtle body is destroyed, the jiva does not have to come back again and accept another gross body. So that is the way it is. That jiva gets the opportunity to dissolve its mind in Krishna, in that pure consciousness, Chaitanyam. And once it is dissolved in that, no more rebirth after that. It is over. And then, after saying that, this is the first verse in the Bhishma Stuti. After saying that, Bhishma says how he would like to remember Krishna at this time, while he, ത്രിഭുവന കമനം തമാലവർണം രവികര ഗൗരവരംഭരം ദധാനി വപുരളകുലാവൃതാനനാബ്ജം വിജയസഖേ രതിരസ്തു മേ നവദ്യ. ദി കൃഷ്ണസ് റിലേഷൻഷിപ്പ് വിത്ത് സോറി ഭീഷ്മസ് റിലേഷൻഷിപ്പ് വിത്ത് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് നോട്ട് ലൈക്ക് അതേഴ്സ്. മോസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ദ ടൈം ഇറ്റ് വാസ് ത്രൂ ദ ഡിപ്ലോമാറ്റിക് ചാനൽ. കൃഷ്ണ ഭീഷ്മ ഹാഡ് ടു റിലേറ്റ് വിത്ത്, ഇസ് ഇറ്റ് നോട്ട്? ബിക്കോസ് ഹി വാസ് ഇൻ ഹസ്തിനാപൂർ വിത്ത് ദി ധൃതരാഷ്ട്ര ആൻഡ് ഓൾ ദി അതർ റോയൽ ഫാമിലി മെമ്പേഴ്സ്. And Bhishma doesn't know all what, Bhishma has only heard about Krishna's appearance in Gokulam and his pastimes with gopis and all that. These are all news to him. He is not familiar with them to such an extent. His relationship mainly was when Krishna met Bhishma in the battlefield. That's where the relationship became very strong, because a lot of things happened in the battlefield between Bhishma and Krishna, right? That Parthasarathi form. And Bhishma has a very special relationship with that form, Parthasarathi form, right? So, that was the opportunity where Bhishma had the greatest close relationship with Krishna. And that was the time when Bhishma understood Krishna properly. Bhishma understood Krishna properly at that time. And it was a very familiar form for Bhishma, that Parthasarathi form, right? And in order that, when he saw Krishna there in the battlefield, Bhishma looked at Krishna, right? And the beauty has completely affected Bhishma, Krishna's beauty. And prior to that, all what happened between Duryodhana and Arjuna, that Krishna told Duryodhana that my army will be with you and I will be with Arjuna. And that was agreed between Krishna, Bhima, Duryodhana and Arjuna. And that all what happened in the Mahabharatam, you have heard that, right? So when these things happened, that Parthasarathi form, when Bhishma first time saw that in the battlefield, right, he could never forget it, that form. That beautiful form of Parthasarathi, driving the chariot. And that is the form what he has spoken here. Tribhuvana kamanam, tamala varnam, revi kara kaurava gaurava rambaram dadhani. That's right. Just like when the sun is disappearing from this every day when the sun disappears, that sun which is setting at that time, that color of the sun, that was Krishna's color at that time, of Krishna's clothes, particularly the yellow garments which Krishna was wearing, and his hair which was all black but at the same time which was curled, and beautiful face along with that, the part of the hair was fallen down, and apart from that, one hand he was holding the whip for controlling the horses. And when Bhishma saw that in the chariot, he could not take his eyes away from that form. He was so attracted by that beauty, right? And Krishna, Bhishma is saying here, let my mind goes to that. Let my mind goes to that form, he is saying here. So, after that, he is saying that, I want to leave this world seeing that form what I have seen in the battlefield, and where my mind has completely got attracted to that. I cannot take that away from him. Saying that, Bhishma was able to leave this world. There is a lot more in the next few verses connected with Bhishma Sudhi, which we will continue in the next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.